Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It is 6:08. Happy Monday, everybody. 1 week from today, it is Christmas. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here. People keep saying 7 days till Christmas. I haven't even started yet.
I haven't started yet either, which is so unlike me.
Are you serious?
What is wrong with you people?
I've ordered two things online. That's it. Was that you, Mary? Did you just say that? What's wrong with you people?
it's a week.
Well, everything seems like it snuck up on us this year.
I feel like it has too, or the weeks are just going faster.
Well, we didn't pay attention to Thanksgiving because it was so warm, and Thanksgiving hit, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm not ready for Christmas. I haven't shopped.
I'm going to shop today. Today's the day. 1 week.
Yeah. I work well under pressure. I can bang everything out.
I mean, the good news is we still have 7 days to do anything we need to do, whether it be shopping, cooking, crafting, anything.
Easy for my wife because I get links from her friends, but it's buying for my godson and my goddaughter and my brother. That's the hard part.
How many gifts do you have to buy? You have a big family.
I know. Why don't you pick names?
Yeah.
This is not a cloud. This is a tomato tracked from...
All right. Okay, that was a tomato tracked from my brain. We do pick names, but you have to get your godchildren gifts, right?
Yes. I do that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have three.
Okay.
So what do? You give them $50 a piece, right? That's $1.50. I haven't even done anything yet, and I'm out $150.
That's fine.
One of my godchildren lives in Canada. Have you ever mailed anything to Canada?
It's terrible.
Oh, my gosh. I bought her some clothes. $15.
I did last week.
To mail.
That's funny that you say that.
It's ridiculous.
$15 is it? Have you shipped anything across from here to Phoenix? That's like $150.
Yeah. But Canada is outrageous. I mean, you have to put three stamps on a card for Canada or an international stamp.
Yeah, it stinks. Yeah, but thank God I don't have to send anything to Canada.
Well, I do.
So 7 days until Christmas. Let's do the six and six. You ready, Joe?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Time for the six at six at number one. Big airport blackout in Atlanta Sunday afternoon at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, the busiest airport in the world. They lost power shortly after noon our time. Jane, you've flown in that airport. You used to live in Atlanta for a short time.
I did. That's a busy airport.
Dave Ennett, I'm sure you've flown through Atlanta.
Many times about a month ago.
I have. They have those little areas where you can take naps. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those little dark areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but all these people that are stuck in the airport can't sneak in there. That's gross.
Well, here's the thing. They said that when the lights went out, there was areas where it was pitch black. People couldn't see their hands in front of their faces.
Why did the lights go out? Do we know?
Vic Vaughn should know. And we'll talk to Vic in a second. Okay.
That's the night the lights went out in Georgia.
There was some sort of electrical underground problem.
Yes.
I mean, was there like a little elf that just pulled the light switch off and everything was laughing in the corner?
How come the generators didn't kick in?
Right.
No backup generators. 800 flights canceled. Ugh. 500 delayed. 100 planes stuck on the runway. Thousands of people were trapped on planes.
And they couldn't flush the toilets. That's the worst thing.
Yeah. Really? Everything's electric.
Can you imagine 7 hours and you couldn't flush the toilets?
Imagine how that smelled. Did we all see that story on the air and just go, oh, so glad I wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
How about if your bag is on the belt coming from under the plane to the carousel, but it's somewhere in between.
And you're just waiting to go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had a lockdown. They wouldn't let anybody in or out of the airport until they had it fixed.
Wow. It's fixed, right?
It is.
Within how many?
Yes.
How many hours?
Well, it started at noon yesterday, and it was still going last night at 8 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to say. At number two, a new fight over emails has broken out. President Trump's lawyers said emails from President Trump's transition team were improperly turned over to special counsel Robert Mueller. Mueller says, no way, man. He acquired the transition team emails legally. Mueller is on the hot seat? No. The president said yesterday again that he will not fire Mueller today. The headline on the Chicago Tribune, Trump, no, I am not firing Mueller. But this just continues to grow.
And those are the days of our lives.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. The Trump presidency is a soap opera. It really is.
You can just always play that guiding light music underneath when you're doing a story.
Day after day after day. At number three, the 6-6, the Chicago Bears dropped to 4-10 and dead last in the NFC North after losing to the Lions on Saturday. Mitch Trubisky threw three interceptions in the loss. It is time for John Fox to go.
Well, it'll 2 weeks from today, Pete, the season will be over. That will be the...
Does he get fired on that Monday right afterwards or after the game?
That's when most coaches get fired. Who are going to get fired?
Does Ryan Pace get fired? Is he on the hot seat?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Am I sure? No. Of course, he's in a high-risk occupation.
Dave, weren't you the one that told us that most coaches get fired mid-season, then that team typically does well the second half of the season?
No, that wasn't me, because I don't believe that. I think there might be an initial burst, but I think that... once in a while you'll see it, but I think it's
the NFL usually waits until the end of the season, don't they?
Yeah, I mean there are usually a couple of changes along the way, and sometimes teams will change coordinators. I mean, look, the Giants did it a few weeks ago. Great, they're 2-12.
Right.
So
the Bears have never fired a head coach during the season, have they?
They never have. No,
never.
The Giants hadn't done it in like 40 years when they did it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really, all it does is it sets up, maybe if you're looking at somebody, you want to see how they operate under duress, that might be a candidate for the job down the road, maybe you would do it. But otherwise, there's really no upside in doing that.
We are 4-10. The Browns come to town on Sunday. If you think things are bad now, if we lose on Christmas Eve.
Well, I mean... Okay.
By the way, you're a season ticket holder.
I haven't been to a game since early in the season.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
How many people, because I've talked to more people who are season ticket holders, who say, are you kidding? To go see the Bears and the Browns on Christmas Eve?
No way. It's not fun.
Wait, the Browns are bad, right?
The Browns haven't won a game.
They're historically
bad. We'll probably lose, right? We will. Because isn't Detroit bad?
No, Detroit's mediocre. San Francisco came in here 1-10. They haven't lost since.
Right.
Yeah, San Francisco keeps winning.
They have not lost since.
At number four, the 6-6, 7 days until Christmas. What's the deadline for online orders? Make sure you check when ordering this week. Most of us do not have our shopping done yet. 1/4 of us haven't even started.
Today's the deadline.
That would be me.
Today's the deadline, and they have to do expedited shipping. That's what I think.
Always pay for 3 days.
Darn, I just
this
ordered
late.
Something. I think you're good, Mary.
Mary, you got to pay the extra $11.95.
Even on Amazon Prime?
No.
$14.99. No, Amazon Prime.
I won't pay the Prime. I'm that guy that hasn't signed up with Amazon Prime.
I love
Prime.
The Prime.
Prime's great.
Yeah.
Prime's
but everything
awesome.
Is $9.99 a month. Netflix and,
Hulu.
Other things. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. And I should, because I order from Amazon all the time.
It pays off. It does. By the way, you can have that app on your phone, driving in a car, being in an airport. You'd be stuck in Atlanta. You'd be ordering all your Christmas presents.
I did it last night. You'd be done, Pete.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
I did it last night in bed. At number five, LeBron James made a statement during an NBA game with his shoes, one black and one white, with the word equality in capital gold letters on the back of each. Is this a good thing or a bad thing that players do things like this, Dave?
Personally, I don't have a problem with it. I think there is, probably it's not unlike some of the expressions of personal opinion that players made during the national anthem and some other things.
Right.
But I think that he's making a statement, something he believes in. He's doing it in a game, by the way, in Washington. That's where they were playing. So I think that has something to do with it.
His statement after the game, this is a beautiful country. We're never going to let one person dictate how beautiful and how powerful we are.
Okay. Who would disagree with the this is a beautiful country?
Right. Nobody.
Okay. Nobody.
You're absolutely right. And finally, at number six, the 6-6, Walmart, their website pulled the Christmas tree that looks like pot leaves.
Oh.
An unusual holiday decoration, a weed marijuana leaf Christmas tree. This is for real. Has been pulled from Walmart's website just hours after going viral. It's a 7-foot tall fake Christmas tree which bears branches covered in faux marijuana leaves, sold for $250 on Walmart's website. They pulled it after the website Cannabist put it on their website, and it just blew up.
Well, because Cannabis was taking all of their sales, probably? Because I think that's probably a big seller for some people.
I didn't think Walmart wanted to be associated with selling a pot Christmas tree.
But they're doing it. Was it only online, or was it in
stores
as well?
It was only online, and they pulled it just hours after posting it.
Wow.
So you can't get the pot Christmas tree.
Sure. Somebody would love that.
The weed marijuana leaf Christmas tree at Walmart anymore. the 6 at 6 brought to you by our good friends at American Weather Makers. American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
623, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back. He's going to do a few more shows before Christmas time. And then you're not here next week, but I am.
I'm not here next week. Yeah, I'm going out of town for the first time ever out of town after Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas, 7 days from today, here's my question. And I know what everyone's going to say, but my wife and I had a pact right after Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. I know what you're going to say.
Where she said to me, we are not buying each other gifts this year. We're going to buy something for the house.
You buy her a gift. The question
never works.
Yep.
Buy her the gift.
I have to buy her a gift.
And she's going
to
buy you a gift.
No, she's not going to buy me a gift.
She'll buy you a gift.
She's not going to buy me a gift.
Well, you better buy her a gift.
I have absolutely bought her a gift.
Mary?
Samberg?
That happens all the time in my family.
I'm not sure what kind of person your wife is, but I feel like she's pretty direct.
Yes.
I know when I say, don't get me something, I mean don't get me something. And if you want to see an angry person on Christmas morning...
But I'm going to get her a gift from Charlie, our son.
Oh, that's the back door.
Right.
You have to.
By the way, you know you are on the radio right now.
She's not listening. Oh, she doesn't listen to this show.
She really doesn't. You can talk about anything, and she's not listening.
So I have to get her a gift.
Do I get her one or two? Get her two. One from Charlie, one from Wrigley.
But
they're both from you.
Unless it's a good one, then you can do a joint gift.
Well, let me tell you what I did.
Yeah.
I bought her a sweater, and I'm going to get her something else.
You buy her a sweater every year for her birthday.
That's what she wears. That's her deal. That's what she does.
Come on, get creative.
But I also bought myself one of those waterproof speakers, so I'm going to wrap that and give it to myself. Huh?
You're going to wrap a gift to yourself?
Yes, because I'm not going to get a gift on Christmas morning, and I like opening gifts.
I think that Charlie McMurray will get you a gift.
I'm sure that he will.
He'll probably make it.
He'll do it.
Okay, but I want something nice, so I bought the waterproof speaker, the standalone. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you going to write, "To Pete, love Santa"?
Yes, I am.
Just put it in your stocking.
There you go. My stepson told me yesterday that he was excited to give Pat and I our gift. And I said, oh, and then he goes, because it was originally supposed to be for his stepdad, but his stepdad saw it. So then he already saw it, so he decided to use it for some Pat and I. So it's one of those universal gifts, I guess. But he said that whatever it is, when we see it, when we're missing him, we can look at it, and it'll make us think of him. But it was going to be for his stepdad. So I don't know.
He made it.
Do you think it's a homemade gift?
Yeah.
Nowadays, kids shop at school. Charlie asked me for $30 because they go shopping now.
Oh, yeah. They all have, we had Elf Shelf at our school. That's what they called it.
Yeah.
And the kids would all go shopping, and there were a couple parents that helped them out and wrapped and things like that.
So when I was little, we had, four tables set up and, I don't know, the cafeteria, and we all got to go with
something. Yeah, it was, dollar items.
Yeah.
Now, Catherine and Patrick, they order on Amazon.
Oh, I don't let Charlie do that. He'd be ordering every day.
Well, I think that's what happens. Catherine just orders. And then she can also see what stuff of hers was ordered. So.
Oh, no.
She checks and sees.
Smart.
Here's the thing about ordering from Amazon. When that Amazon box comes, and the person that you don't want them to see what you're always ordering from Amazon, it doesn't matter if it's Christmas. It could be weekly. You're like, oh, better hide that. Don't look at what I've ordered. Because the box has come.
Right.
You can't hide that.
I can't order anything because my husband's retired. He's home. home all day. He gets the mail. He knows exactly.
Send it here.
You can't hear it, Mary.
Send it somewhere else.
No.
Why?
Because
no,
these like people doing the mail room here at work are here to distribute mail for work purposes. They don't need your personal junk.
No, Mary.
I always ship to work.
Send it to Pete's house. He'll bring it in for you.
Oh. Well, he read
it'll take 3 weeks, but I'll bring it in.
He will have it paid to be
read. Oh, I forgot it again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll never see it.
Yes.
And my husband will sit there and shake the box, and he knows. You can tell by the shape of a box what it is.
Yeah.
Well, of course. That's why you send it to work.
I'm not sending it to work. That's wrong.
I think you pick a friend and you send it to the friend's house.
No, that's too much work. And the friend screws it up, and then you get them involved, and then they get angry at you.
Mary's got a good plan.
Send it to my daughters.
Send it to work. I don't get it. You get mail sent here, right?
No.
It's wrong.
Not personal.
There's not a place to get it.
I will always send stuff here.
There's not a central receiving place. I mean, there's the mail room. I mean, there's the receiving dock. But sometimes stuff will go to the front. The security desk, and you don't know where to get it.
Yeah.
Because I'll get a call, hey, we have a package for you. But
you don't even know where to come get it. I know.
Like a week later, I'll find the package. Here.
They always end up on 7 for some reason.
Well, we used to have Gary the mail guy, remember? I love his name, Gary.
Yes.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, but your point, it ends up on 7, but Christmas is a week away.
Right.
So you're going to take a chance that it ends up on 7 a week and a half from now?
Right.
Pete, you're friends with all your neighbors. Send it to your neighbor's house.
I don't trust my neighbors.
Yes, you do.
I love Don with 2 N's in his name, but I don't trust him because he's drinking too many martinis. I'll tell you right now. So I am getting my wife a gift.
A sweater.
Well, you're not. Charlie's getting her a gift.
Charlie is.
I can't get her something else,
and
too.
And I'm getting a gift from Santa, and I'm wrapping it myself, and I'm going to be surprised when
I
open it.
That would annoy me if my husband did that.
Morning. God, I love this speaker. It's like it's waterproof. It's, you know, it's about a foot and a half.
Is it
what are you gonna do
a
with
boom?
It?
It's round.
Like the
red. Yes.
I've got one of those. They're great.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Play music on
where?
It. Anywhere.
And you're taking a walk with the dog? I can't see
in the bathroom, maybe. Yeah.
It is 6:29. The big story coming up next with Vic on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now. I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now. He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
6:38, Dr. Most is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. It's Doc Most. Doc, I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised to hear you in studio last week.
Yeah, it was kind of fun, Pete. You know, I try to get down there a couple times a year, and it's just a total different interaction when you can actually see the face of people and you can, you can gauge their questions, gauge your responses. So it's always fun to come down. You guys are so polite and welcoming when I come there, so it's nice.
And, Doc, one of my favorite shows on TV airs Sunday mornings at 11:30 on WGN. It's called Living Healthy Chicago, and it's hosted by Jane Monzuris. And Jane is here today.
Hi, Dr.
Hi,
Moore.
Jane.
Most.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
This is my favorite subject to talk about, so I'm so happy that you're here. You're on the phone with us.
Oh, great.
Have you been on the show? Can we get you on Living Healthy Chicago?
You know, I'd be more than happy to anytime you need me. So
he's a good-looking man.
Reach out.
He really
I'll
is.
Get my people to call your people, which is really just me emailing you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish I had people.
Doc, we've talked about this before. I have cancer in my family. I have 4 siblings that are cancer survivors. My father passed away of liver cancer, and when I hear about new updates on cancer screenings, I think, okay, this is good news.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's more about awareness, because what we talk about with cancer often is, oh, I have cancer, what are my treatment options, versus what can we do to identify individuals at higher risk for cancer earlier, so whether we change our screening or what we're going to look for, but it's going to hopefully moving that date up to the identification of cancer is what's going to make an impact on the treatments.
Especially with men, as guys go in as they get older for physicals, you got to get your PSA test done, because there's been so many studies and so many people that I know that took that simple blood test that said, oh my God, I have prostate cancer. And once they take that prostate out, they're good.
Yeah, there's so much controversy about the PSA test. Certainly, sit and talk to your doctor about it. Some doctors are saying, you know, we're not so sure about the PSA test. It leads to biopsies. Maybe it leads to further testing, and it's often found to be not the right blood test. However, it's all about awareness. So definitely discuss that with your physician. Make sure you're going in and getting examined. And if he feels a PSA is appropriate, that's great. You know, you look at people that had a PSA test and caught cancer very early.
Right. It happened with my brother. Caught it early. Yep. And yep. Another one of my friends. It's a simple blood test for prostate cancer. Jane?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Moe, so, I mean, early detection always key in any kind of diagnosis, that especially if you have a predisposition for whatever the disease may be. I know, or I heard about... sometimes they can take sort of like it's almost like you stick a straw, or they take a piece of your skin. They take layers of your skin early to detect and kind of gauge that and detect if you are going to get certain diseases that maybe your family had. Is that, have you heard of that? I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, you know, there's so many new screening opportunities right now. We're actually looking at genetic opportunities. So they're looking at genes, they're looking at your genetic samples, whether it's a portion of your skin or they swab the inside of your mouth. And then they're looking for, do you have a gene that could lead to a propensity for those cancers? So in women with breast cancer, there's an ovarian cancer, BRCA, the BRCA, and there's many more. And as we start to gather more data and look at this, that's going to explode right now. And that's probably one of the biggest things of the all of us impact that's going to be making, the study that's just started this past year.
I feel like as you get older, people get more paranoid. And if they have an ache and pain, they immediately think, oh, my God, what is this? I could have cancer. Do you get that a lot? People calling you up and saying, hey, listen, I have this. I need to come in and see you immediately.
I thought you were going to say, do I personally have
that? Well, I always hear that doctors are the worst patients. Are you a good patient?
No, but let's move on from that point. No, but Pete, you make a very good point, and it's kind of interesting with the internet now.
Right.
Before, people used to always go to their doctor to get the information, and now with the internet, they feel something, they Google it, and they go, oh my gosh, this could be X.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as they read it, they go, oh, I have that, oh, I have that, oh, I have that, and they've walked down this road now, which increases anxiety. It may get them into the doctor, but it's also a lot of false positives, I'll say, based on just the symptoms.
God, that's my wife. She looks everything up. It drives me crazy. Oh my God. I got to get to the doctor.
I know.
And she's a hypochondriac. So if she looks it up and has documentation, she's going to say, oh, we really need to go. Well, you need to go with me too.
I don't like to go to the doctor, but sometimes if I get a splitting headache or something is happening in my brain, my mom had a brain disease. So I think, oh no, I'm going to get this terrible disease. And all the neurologists say, you don't have it. Don't worry.
You can't think that way.
Well,
you'll drive yourself nuts.
You don't want to think that way. But doctor, when is the, if you have family history of a certain type of cancer, or let's say, you know, you don't have a family history, when is the right time to get screened?
It's a great question, Jane, because really it varies from person to person. Let's say you have a history of colon cancer in your family. You know, normally we're going to say the age for screening colon cancer starts at 50 and you get your colonoscopy every 10 years. You have a family history of that, we're going to move that back to 40. And in some cases, we might even go earlier based on how deep that family history is. So you could take that. You could take heart disease. My father died of a heart attack at 61. My brother had a heart attack at age 47. Am I going to be more concerned about my lipids and my blood pressure? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we start to really change that, and it varies based on the disease and based on a discussion with your doctor as far as when should we start screening.
I get into a freak out mode, right? You talk about high cholesterol. All of a sudden, I look at genetics and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to check my lipids. I have high cholesterol. That's a freak out mode for me. Like, Pete, if you have cancer in your family or you have history of it.
We have a history of everything. Talk about high cholesterol. Oh my God.
Freak out mode. So what, instead of freaking out, what are my next steps? Because I will go to the websites.
Well, you know, we always love patients that are well-educated when they come in the office. So the ones that say, hey, you know what, I have a family history of high lipids and heart disease. Great. Let's see where yours are. Not only are we going to measure it, but let's see what we can start doing from a lifestyle change. what's your diet? Let's make sure we add more vegetables and light leafy vegetables, and let's kind of stay away from the fried foods and the fast foods. Let's watch your salt intake so that your hypertension. So knowing your numbers and being freaked out about it will often help you change your lifestyle. You know, you're never going to smoke because you know the damage right. that can do. So changing that lifestyle with an educated patient is wonderful and will add not only quality of life, quantity of life.
How about supplements? Do you believe in those?
You know, it depends at certain times of the year. Right now, I feel everyone at this time of the year should be taking vitamin D. Why? We normally get plenty of vitamin D when we're out in the sun. A lot of people that are listening right now go to work when it's dark, go home when it's dark, and they're not getting out in the sun at all. So taking vitamin D.
Right.
I also take a vitamin. You know what? My diet is not as balanced as it should be. It's not going to do you any harm. So a good multivitamin and a vitamin D at this time of the year, I'm all for it. As far as other supplements, it really depends. Some people feel that taking a vitamin for eye health is good after the age of 50. I'm okay with that. I actually take one probably two or three times a week. But other supplements, it really depends on what you're trying to get out of that supplement.
I'm a huge supplement guy.
Pete's a huge supplement guy. And one of the things I have told Pete, and this is what I preach to everybody, and I could totally be wrong, but I always say modify your diet, M-O-D, multivitamin, omega-3, yep. vitamin D, modify your diet.
Right.
What do you
yep.
think about that?
I do. I think it's great. You know, omega-3 and the fish oils, you know, the studies on those are a little bit iffy right now, but it's certainly not going to do you any harm. But anybody with heart disease certainly isn't going to be a bad thing for you. And it just reminds you every day, too, of what you're supposed to be doing to keep yourself healthy.
What about iodine supplements? Because I was dangerously low on vitamin D and iodine when I had my blood test, and I take supplements every day for iodine.
Yeah, the vitamin D is great. The iodine, it really depends. You should be able to get plenty of that in your diet.
I'm trying to salt everything now.
You're a non-salter.
I'm not. I've never been a salter. Now I have to salt.
That's weird.
Yep.
But it's got to be iodine salt.
Well, believe it or not, a lot of the salt is iodized. So we're looking at, and believe me, everyone who lives in the United States, you get plenty of salt if you eat out, if you do anything. We have plenty of salt in our diet.
You're feeling in your fingers.
And what are you doing for Christmas next week?
You know, I'm going to go down to sunny North Carolina and relax for a little bit. So kind of looking forward to that.
Oh, that's nice.
And doctor, number one thing I ask every doctor we have on Living Healthy Chicago, number one thing to do to stay healthy.
Wow. You know, I think it's going to be, you only give me one.
Well, I know you're going to say eat right. I know you're going to say moderation, but there's one last thing.
Move your body. Exercise.
Absolutely. Exercise. Get up and move around as much as you can.
Is that it?
That's it. That's what every doctor says. Okay. I mean, they say you're going to give me one thing, just like you did.
Don't any say sleep?
Sleep's very important, but if we just slept all day, it wouldn't be a great idea.
But
I miss college.
If you're feeling sick, you need to sleep. You need to catch up on your sleep. Doc, Merry Christmas. Great to hear from you.
Merry Christmas. And Jane, I'd love to come on and talk to you, especially about this All of Us program. That's huge in the United States.
And you know what? I love the point here of all of us. You have to say NIH.gov. You have to make sure you get that National Institutes of Health in that website. So, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Doc.
You got it. Take care, you guys. Have a great holiday.
I'd like to think I'm his agent, making that happen.
Yeah, that was
getting
good.
Him on TV.
But it's interesting, too, the website that he was referring to, allofus.nih.gov.
Okay.
So that is, we didn't actually even talk about it, but I'm on the website right now. Don't go to the other NIH.
No. Doc Most brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:54, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Steve Cochran. Steve will be back probably tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. What's today? Monday? Today. 7 days till Christmas.
Today is Monday.
Yes. Dave, your Blackhawks look absolutely fantastic.
They are looking a lot better. They have done what the Bulls did, follow a losing streak with a winning streak.
The Bulls don't need to win. The Hawks do.
The Bulls need to win. No, you're
Bulls
right.
The Bulls don't need to win.
But
they need a draft,
the last couple of games, they've done it with a little bit of breathing room after
Crow looks great.
Overtime. He does.
Patrick Kane, after watching last night, I mean, he just looks so relaxed right now. I mean, I feel like he's in a good place.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he looks good. They were clicking last night, except on the power play. The power play still is a work in progress.
It has been for 10 years.
They need a little more progress.
Seasons after seasons.
But they're winning despite going 0-for-6 on the power play last night.
Right.
And they're kind of hanging around now. They've got themselves back into a playoff spot.
God, I love it.
There's a 7-point gap between where they are and Nashville and St. Louis in the division. So now they have 6 straight on the road coming up. So that'll be a challenge.
We got a lot of season left, guys. A lot.
Correct.
The Hawks Express is powered by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Right wing, rink white, pass small, throw the wild line back to Kane, he scores! What a play! Nick Schmaltz again setting up Patrick Kane, left circle to right. It's just like they just know where one another is going to be. Schmaltz wasn't even looking at Kane, and he just set the puck over the right circle. Kane slapped it home, it's 1-0 Hawks. Keith moves it over to Osterley, stretch pass Kane into the wild zone, down the slot, shoot, he scores! Patrick Kane with his second goal of the night is now 5th all-time in Chicago Blackhawk history in goal scoring, eclipsing Dennis Hull, and he puts the Hawks on top 2-0. Hartman recovers left wing corner. Hartman charged into the net, shoots and scores! You had Stalock trying to poke check the puck off Hartman's stick, and he beat Stalock with that maneuver. The puck ended up in the top shelf, 3-0 in favor of the Hawks. Dumba at the right point, winds up and fires. He scores. Matt Dumba with his 3rd goal in 2 games. Fired that one past Crawford through a screen. And the Wild are on the board. They now trail 3-1. To the line, Suter. He coughed it up in the deep slot. And Wingle swats the puck down ice into an empty net. He scores! Another shorthanded empty net goal. And the Blackhawks now lead the Wild 4-1. Anisimov's got it with 3 seconds. 2-1. That's all she wrote. And the Hawks have won 5 in a row. They beat the Minnesota Wild here tonight 4-1.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN. Meet Tim McCormick, CEO of SOS Children's Villages, Illinois.
SOS Children's Villages, Illinois is focused on keeping brothers and sisters together in a private individual home with a full-time foster parent whose only job is to care and love and transform a child's life with an intentional community called a village that makes a difference not only in the child's life, but in our community.
Meet Tariq, one of SOS Children's Villages' many success stories.
I was 12, 8th grade with SOS. They were so loving and caring that me and my siblings actually were able to stay together and continue to grow as a family. Instead of just shuffling from place to place, it was good to have somewhere that I can actually call my room my home and know that I can go home to my family.
SOS Children's Villages Illinois takes foster care to the next level.
Well, all the resources that we rely upon come from donors who support our mission. We work closely with the Department of Children and Family Services to provide this unique model of foster care.
You want to know more? Tariq?
To find out more what we're talking about, visit sosillinois.org.
It is 6:58. Happy Monday, everybody. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Jane Monzuris is here. Dave Ennett. By the way, I raked my leaves on Saturday. My yard looks absolutely pristine.
You love your yard, and it was that nice to rake the leaves?
God, it was perfect. I didn't even wear a jacket on Saturday when I was raking.
It was a little muddy, though.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Because you had the snow melt. And
Yeah. I can take care of that.
He loves to be out there.
I bring the garbage can in my front yard. I rake and I bring the snow shovel and I scoop it together.
That's my method, right? That's,
really?
Yes.
Great minds think alike.
Absolutely.
It's my deal. And you know what else I do? I have a parkway because I live in the city, you know, and I rake the leaves in the street and then I pick up all the leaves in the street.
From everybody.
Uh-huh.
There were two
neighbors surrounding me.
There was a Hams beer can in my front yard.
Okay, was it like
accidentally there?
It was smashed. Somebody just put it
Jane
there.
Jane was out the other night.
No, your boyfriend,
hams
Kurt.
Yes.
Hams? Really?
It
hams.
Was a smashed hams can be a can.
Now, wasn't hams croissant, or was that
That's
some other
old
beer?
Style.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What does that mean, croissant?
Croissant.
An animal!
Dan Hampton. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, Dave Ennett, Mary's upstairs on 7. Our next guy is brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Bears are now 4-10. On the phone with us, number 99, the Hall of Famer, the Danimal, Dan Hampton. And, Hamp, I've stopped texting you during games, probably midway through the season, because I'd get one-word answers, and now I know how upset you are because I hear the post-game with you and OB, and I love your passion, but I can't get upset anymore.
Well, first and foremost, you're probably a lot more intelligent than I am about the whole thing. And everybody goes, why? You know, why are you in such a foul mood about it? And a lot of people have to realize. I mean, hey, I've told you and a number of people over the years that, hey, when I retired, and it's been a while, but when I retired, you know, it meant something to be a Chicago Bear. It was a really good thing. And now, after the clown shows of John Fox, game after game, year after year, it's been relegated to a farcical nature where, you know, again, a lot of people they just they're shaking their head and saying, you know, the Bears are horrible. We don't care, and that bothers me. But you know, it was just another textbook example of why head coaches matter. And you know what? There's a growing drumbeat about Ryan Pace, the general manager. And these two, you could separate them as far as job description, but when you look at the end result, you know, the cake they've baked, it's pretty awful. It's 3 straight years of double-digit losses, and this maddening inability to beat anyone in our division, you know, and Coach Ditka, you know, and he wasn't perfect, but he was a great coach for a lot of reasons. But just in a simple fashion, he would set objectives and goals and say, this is what we have to do. I don't even know if John Fox tells the guys where the bathroom is.
Yeah.
I don't even think he has. I mean, this team doesn't know how to get out of its own way. But, you know, you've got to win a game in your division before anyone can take you seriously. We are 0-5 thus far this year in our division. And again, you know, what we saw Saturday gives you no indication that we could ever win a game again with this coaching staff in place.
Under John Fox, the Bears are 3-14 against the NFC North. They've won 3 games this year against the AFC North. They won that. I mean, that's the number, Hap. That's just stunning. I mean, that's right. I mean, you know, you've won as many games this year against one division as you've won against your own division in 3 years. What was the most disappointing aspect of Saturday to you?
First and foremost, you know, you come off of what you know, the media, and make no mistake, there's a lot of media figures in town wanting the team to do well. I mean, you know, when the Blackhawks win 5 in a row, there's a lot more interest, a lot more, you know, people saying, hey, let's go see the Blackhawks. When the Bulls win 5 games in a row, there's a lot more. The media, the sports writers, they're pulling. They're pulling for the team to do well, almost out of a sense of, you know, self-destiny. But, you know, after the praising headlines of, oh, Jordan Howard's on his way, and Mitch Trubisky is going to be a force, and yada, 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 and we don't even threaten. the 27th ranked defense in the NFL, the Detroit Lions, until virtually late in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's maddening. But more importantly, the 13 penalties. And, you know, little things mean a lot. And I always talk about this all the time. And you know, Josh Bellamy has a holding call. He has a blocking in the back. He jumps to catch a ball that hits him in the helmet. And he drives. All these little mistakes, they lead you to the point where now you're down in the fourth quarter. Detroit's backed off, basically saying, these guys are horrible. We're just going to let them flounder, and they're going to find a way to stop themselves. And the only touchdown drive we had late in the fourth quarter, we had to overcome five penalties on that drive just to score the only touchdown. So, again, this is a team. It's beyond disarray. It's they're impotent. They're confused, and at some point you just got to say we've got to go in a new direction. And you know, I made this point last night, Mr. Cat. Let me ask you a question. Everybody's going, oh, you know, with Northwestern, if you've got a bunch of sophomores and juniors, you're going to say, hey, we're going to be a lot better next year. Well, guess what? Ohio State's playing a lot of sophomores and juniors too. And Iowa's playing, Wisconsin, they've got a bunch of freshmen. And so everybody expects to get better next year. Now, same thing with Green Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota. For us to go, well, we're going to be better next year because Jordan Howard's going to be a year older and Trubisky is going to be a year wiser. Well, guess what? They're getting older and wiser too. So, you know, just to think that everything is a fait accompli, and we're gonna magically become 14 game winners next year because we're 1 year older. It's a farce. So there's a lot of things that happened Saturday that lead us to a point where we have to make some really, really hard decisions. It's not a hard decision for me. I've been saying it all year, but hopefully the McCaskies know what the decision is.
Does Ryan Pace get fired?
I don't know. I said last night on Fox, I said he's going to get some presents at Christmas. Don't throw the boxes away. You know what I mean?
Oh, I had the penalties down. They should have went for it on fourth down, but Josh Bellamy drives me crazy. He can't catch a cold. It's time to just say goodbye, get some receivers in the offseason. It's time to just start over. And I'm a season ticket holder. I think I went to one or two games this year at most.
Well, okay, and people, that's it. They keep Josh Bellamy and cut Trey McBride because of that incident. And yesterday, Bellamy had, like I said, two penalties and a completely botched catch that we needed. And yet they make the decision to go, you know, with him over a player that was a bigger factor. It looked more polished in a position that we're in desperate need of, you know, and they cut McBride. There's been so many really, really bad decisions. It's almost a clown show. And, you know, everybody's talking about Marvin Lewis and poor Marvin. Marvin Lewis got paid as a head coach for 15 years in this NFL for whatever reason. I don't know. He never won a playoff game.
Right.
You know, hey, these guys, they make a lot of money. And their job is to find ways to win games. Yep. Our guys aren't doing what they're paid to do. It's just that simple.
Yep. I know.
By the way, Robbie Gould kicked 6 field goals.
I know. I saw that.
Didn't he kick the field goal to win the game again?
Yeah, he did again.
Yeah, he did. Robbie Gould.
Hey, and one other thing. You know, the NFL is in a bad way right now because of a lot of reasons. And, you know, the ridiculous kneeling stuff, and then the end zone celebration is really aggravating a lot of people. But these officials, and then the maddening idiocy that we saw in the Pittsburgh-New England game yesterday.
Guys, what an ending.
Well, and you know what? This isn't just an official making a bad call. This is basically disrupting the integrity of the NFL because now, New England's going to hold home field advantage, and we all know what happens in the playoffs in New England. Cicero, Mac, you know, 2,000 years ago had a great thing. He goes, well, we've got the watchers. Basically, that's the officials. They're watching who's doing what. Well, who's going to watch the watchers? Mm-hmm. These guys, they have these twerps have come up with you know, abstract, ridiculous interpretations of the rules that you and I and everybody else, we hate it. Why does the end zone change everything? Last night, the Raiders, you know, they were in a position to maybe have a chance to tie the game, and their quarterback, Derek Carr, fumbles it through the end zone. Okay, now it's going to be a touchback.
Touchback. I was watching that, too. Wow.
Okay, but why does the end zone change everything? You know, if you fumble it out of bounds, well, you can, you know, you keep possession. They're wanting more offensive performance and points and production. It's just players trying to make plays at the end zone, and now they're being penalized for it. It's just the whole thing is upside down. And again, Roger Goodell is asleep at the switch, and this is
he just got a contract extension.
Let's just calm him down. I feel like Hamp's got high blood pressure.
Yeah, right.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Well, ho, 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 we get one more look at, we got two more looks at these guys on Christmas Eve. Comes the Cleveland Browns. So we'll have fun with that on Friday.
And Cochran's off again next week, so I'll talk to you next Tuesday, okay?
All right. We'll go by Walgreens to get my prescription.
All right. See you, Hampton.
Blood pressure.
See you, buddy. Dan Hampton, the Danimal, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
So early.
Poor guy.
I know.
I love the passion.
I love the passion.
You know what? Unfortunately, the officials, based on the rule, they got the call right.
Yes.
But the rule is awful.
The rule is awful. I watched both of those games. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my gosh.
Steelers-Pats game was so good.
Yep.
Wow. We have a pair of tickets to see the Hawks play their next home game on January 5th against the Vegas Knights. 312-981-7200. Time for the Hawk Riddle. Here it is. Born in Chicago in 36. Stood 6'5 or 6'6. A prosecutor handling criminal cases of white-collar crime on a daily basis. The longest to serve as head of state, Mr. T was an Illinois great. That's an easy one. I can even get that. Dave's shaking his head. Here it is again. Born in Chicago in 36, stood 6'5 or 6'6. A prosecutor handling criminal cases of white-collar crime on a daily basis. The longest to serve as head of state, Big Mr. T was an Illinois great. What is the Hawk Riddle? Jane, you have no idea. It takes a while to get in the groove of the Hawk Riddle.
It is the Hawker Riddle. It is
the
Hawker Riddle.
Hawker Riddle.
Oh, I see. Hawker Riddle. It's very difficult, I think, until I saw the answer, and now it makes sense. There you go.
Well, you can't see the answer.
I see the answer.
I mean, that's
right here
the
on my
thing.
Paper.
Dave, do you know what we're talking about?
Yes, I do.
Hawker Riddle?
Yes, I do.
Hawker Riddle.
Yes, I do.
The Hawker Riddle. One more time, or do we have someone? Okay. Hold on. Let's go to Tony on line 4. Tony, what's the answer?
It is Mr. Big Jim Thompson.
Big Jim Thompson is absolutely correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. You pick up a pair of tickets, see the Blackhawks take on the Las Vegas on Friday, January 5th, and you'll be entered to win 4 season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. It's the Golden Knights of Las Vegas, right, Dave Bennett?
The Vegas Golden Knights. The name of the team is not the Las Vegas. It is the Vegas Golden Knights.
The Vegas Golden Knights.
Dropping the loss.
The Las Vegas Golden Knights.
The Vegas Golden Knights.
You got that, Tony?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Tony sounds
okay.
Excited.
It's like, great, Tony's like, yeah. I got Vegas, Las Vegas, whatever.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Got it.
Okay. Vegas. Big story coming up next with Vic. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Yeah, It is 7:37, 7 days until Christmas. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, Steve Cochran in back in tomorrow.
Hi, Pete.
Tomorrow we'll talk to Ryan Nobles from CNN in just a second. The coach will join us in an hour. And Carrie Wood, the 7th annual Woody's Winter Warm-Up is coming up in January. We'll talk to Carrie Wood before top of the hour. We hosted that event last year.
We hosted last year and maybe a couple of years prior to that. What a great event that is.
I say this every single time I have Carrie on the radio. Carrie and Sarah do so much charity work for this city, and he doesn't need to do it. And he chooses to, and Sarah chooses to.
They're just good people.
They continue to do so much charity work. Mm-hmm. And I love the guy. Dave, you've known Carrie Wood forever. I mean,
it's great to see because, look, he was a Texas guy, right?
Right.
And he's come in here.
Who was very shy, by the way, and he didn't really like the spotlight. And he's kind of grown into his own. I don't know what that means, but he's comfortable now.
Yeah.
He's comfortable now in front of a camera and on the radio.
You sound like a proud papa.
But you can still tell he doesn't do it because he wants to be recognized or have the accolades. He doesn't want to be doing the interviews. He's fine doing it, but him and Sarah do it because it's what they want to do. They want to give back and make a difference for these children. It's just truly amazing.
Are you on the Christmas card list, anybody?
Are you?
I am.
Evidently, you wouldn't be asking.
Oh, Sandberg is. What, really? Are you? Dave Ennett, are you?
I am not.
Oh.
Now I got to text Sarah. I think she lost my address.
You and Sarah are very close, too. Interesting. Yeah. Huh. Wow, the Christmas card this year. It's number one out of anyone.
I mean.
It's a little book of pictures. It was unbelievable.
Did they all sign it? And the kids, too?
Well, it's a book, and it's a book of pictures, and it's a lot of extra postage.
How many cards do they have to send? That's why I'm off the list.
Wow. If they're sending Pete McMurray a card,
that's a lot. That's thousands of cards. If you're
because
on the
you
list.
Know, I am at the bottom
what
of the list.
What happened was somebody fell off the list. They're like, who do we have? They're like, Pete McMurray. He's next.
Come on.
He texts me every weekend, so he bothers me via text. I better send him a card.
I sent Carrie a text after I got the Christmas card. I'm like, I can't even compete with this. He goes, I had nothing to do with it. It's all Sarah.
It's all Sarah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So we'll talk to Carrie. Woody's Winter Warm-Up, of course, at Harry Carey's 7th inning stretch in Water Tower, which is great. It's fun.
It's a great event. It gets very crowded, but it's really fun. It's a great celebration.
The Cubs show up every year, too.
Oh, every
because
year.
It's around the convention, so they go to the convention, then they show up.
And not only that, so the Cubs are there, so that's great celebrity. But then there's other local celebrities that show up, and there's singer-songwriters that show up, and there's just all sorts of people there.
John Cusack's on the list this year.
Hmm.
Who is an introvert. I'm going to ask Carrie about that, because they're friends. I can't see Cusack showing up and bartending.
I could see him showing up to hang out.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would go just see you guys.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. Thank you for that.
You could host with us.
Why don't you come and bartend? I bartended with Kyle Schwarber last year.
Who was quicker?
Let's bring in Ryan Nobles from CNN. Ryan, how are you, buddy?
Great. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
First of all, I want to talk about the airport blackout in Atlanta. I mean, people said it was so pitch dark that they couldn't see in front of they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. Is that taken care of now?
No. I think there's a lot of open questions about that this morning. I think you're going to see the TSA get involved. You're going to see the FAA get involved. It just doesn't seem to make any sense that in this day and age, the largest airport in the United States could not have power for that long of a period of time, and people could be stuck inside those tubes for hours upon hours without access to food or water or anything like that. One of our colleagues here, Betsy Klein, who's one of our White House reporters, she was on a tarmac for about 8 or 9 hours yesterday, and her flight had already landed. She didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And just a lack of communication, and I just can't imagine. I was on a tarmac at JFK on Thursday morning for 2.5 hours, and I wanted to gouge my eyeballs out. I can't imagine what it was like for those people.
And then they're stuck on the plane. I just remembered, Ryan, that at the Atlanta airport, they have the trains that you have to ride between each of the terminals. So if people, were they stuck on those trains, too? Because
I don't know, but I mean, there was no power in the entire airport, so it would not surprise me at all. I know that Betsy Klein, if you follow her on Twitter, It's spelled the way you'd expect it to be spelled. She described getting off the plane, and this is as the power was getting restored after she'd been on the flight for on that plane for more than 8 or 9 hours. And she said it looked like a war zone. I mean, there were people fighting over outlets to plug in their phones. There were lights flickering in different places. I mean, this is the most modern airport in America, and the idea that this could happen just defies all logic.
Boy, I got to tell you, you bring that up, suddenly I have to run to the restroom because, you know, you think about you're caught on that train. What do? Because I chug water all the time.
Or stuck on the plane, too.
I mean, what are you doing?
But you're right. This is the largest airport in the country. And the fact that this
busiest
was able
in the world.
In the world. The fact that this power outage lasted for so long and it was caused by a fire in an underground electrical facility and that there were no backup generators.
No, and you know, airline travelers are not the most patient people to begin with. So the idea that, you know, you're going to put somebody in this kind of a situation without any kind of communication or any kind of idea as to how long it's going to take to repair it. I mean, it's a national security risk, really, when you think about it. I mean, if you look at that and you realize how easy it could possibly be to debilitate a major transportation artery like that, it just makes you wonder, like, if you're, you know, some sort of group that wants to do harm to the United States, you look at that and say, you know, is this a vulnerability here? So this is something that the federal government's got to get involved in. They got to take a look at this so something like this doesn't happen again.
I mean, thousands of people trapped, 800 flights canceled, 500 delayed, hundreds of planes stuck on the runway. Once the power went out, no one could come in, no one could leave.
1,200 flights canceled and more canceled today.
That's brutal.
Yeah, there'll be all kinds of, you know, it'll continue today. That'll just, you know, it'll extend out. And you know how it works. The dominoes fall when it comes to flights. And so today's going to be another travel nightmare for a lot of people on the East Coast.
Let's talk about your favorite subject on Mondays. President Trump, his lawyer said emails from the transition team were improperly turned over to special counsel Robert Mueller. But Mueller says, we got these legally. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you saw the special counsel actually put out a statement on this over the weekend, which is very rare for them. The special counsel usually just allows their work to speak for itself. They do not comment in the media ever. So the idea that they're pushing back on this makes you understand that they understand that this is a potential credibility problem for them. And, you know, there's, you know, other than Trump's lawyers accusing the special counsel of doing this the wrong way, there's no real evidence that they came in receipt of these emails incorrectly or illegally. But what you see here, and you add this into these text messages that were sent by a member of the special counsel office who's since been fired from his job, this is the way that Trump and his team are working to kind of discredit Mueller's work. They want, in the court of public opinion, for people to believe that Mueller and his team have an axe to grind, that they're not necessarily in search of the facts, that it's a witch hunt, as the president's people have often described it. So the more that you have these kind of trickle pieces of, oh, well, this doesn't look right or that doesn't look right, that emboldens Trump supporters, right? That makes them feel better about the fact that he's under investigation, that perhaps it's being done improperly. And it also makes it harder for Mueller and his team to do their job. But when you fight through the facts of this and you look at actually what happened here, the special counsel has pretty broad reach when it comes to acquiring documents of all kinds when it comes to this investigation. There's no evidence right now that they came in contact with those emails illegally, and it probably has a very small amount to do with the actual investigation itself. But if it's enough to discredit him, you know, Mueller, and make people think differently about the investigation, that could be a win for Trump and his supporters.
Jane?
Another question, Ryan, about Trump. Today, he's supposed to be unveiling a new national security strategy called America First. So it's got four pillars of protecting the homeland, protecting our prosperity, and all, you know, it goes on to say it's going to advance American influence in a competitive world. How does this affect our relationship with the rest of the world if it's fully implemented?
Well, that's a great question, and particularly one of those things that's outlined in the plan is that we basically describe China as a direct competitor. And, you know, one of the things that President Trump has talked about is this kind of warm relationship that he has with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. And obviously, China plays a very important role in the situation in North Korea. So if you have this kind of aggressive posture by the United States on the foreign stage to basically say, we're the biggest, you know, beating our chest. We've got the biggest military. We're the toughest country in the world. Don't mess with us. You know, how does that, how do you then respond diplomatically when you're trying to hatch out trade deals, when you're trying to hash out national security agreements, when you're trying to deal with rogue nations like North Korea? Those are all things that come into question. But this is the president basically making good on a campaign promise. He's trying to show his supporters that his foreign policy is going to be America first. They're yep. not going to be worried about how this impacts other people. But this is a, you know, it's not just, you know, the way the military acts. You know, you're talking about, you know, what role does the United States play in terms of fighting climate change? You know, this is not considered to be, you know, a priority for this administration. So this, you know, it's going to be a speech. A lot of it's going to be theatrics on behalf of the president and his administration. But it has real world implications that go beyond just how we interact with our allies and our enemies around the world, but it's really going to set a course for how the United States behaves going forward.
Yes. Ryan Nobles, Merry wow. Christmas, man. What are you doing for the holidays?
Well, I'm going to spend Christmas with my in-laws in upstate New York, but then I get to spend the week between Christmas and New Year's in Palm Beach with the President of the United States. I'll probably never lay eyes on him. But
it'll be warm.
Maybe you'll get a suntan.
You'll have that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, much more than it'll be in upstate New York, that's for sure.
Thanks, man. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, you two guys. Have a good one.
God, he is so good.
I love Cochran, the way he explains it all.
I told Cochran weeks ago, I love Ryan Nobles.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite segments he has on the show.
Well, I love the way he like will explain it, and I understand it. So that's really good.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
7:53, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Steve Cochran. Dave Ennett's here. After 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Dean Richards about Star Wars, of course. Biggest movie of the weekend. Anybody see Star Wars?
I did not see it, but I've heard lots of things on it. Jane, did you see it?
Jane was in Paris. Dave was doing a game.
Your son saw it, right?
I went with my son on Friday and his friend Emmett. And by the way, I forgot how expensive it is to bring two kids to a 3D movie.
How much food did they eat?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, you pick them up from school and you got to get cheeseburgers. There's $20
because they're
right
hungry
there.
Right away from
and
school.
And it's $20 a ticket if you see the 3D matinee.
A matinee?
Oh, because it's
20, 40, 60. That's $60 in tickets and $20 in cheeseburgers. I'm $80 in the hole. I haven't even walked in the theater yet.
The afternoon with your son and his buddy is priceless.
It was great. That's but Charlie and Emmett Miller didn't want to sit with me. So they sat down the row. I'm like, guys, I'm the cool dad. Plus, I have the money in case you need refills.
They didn't want to sit with
they
you?
They didn't care. No.
Really?
So I sat by myself and watched Star Wars.
Right behind them.
By the way, great movie.
Yeah.
Great.
I heard it might have divided the fan base.
I read the reviews ahead of time, and I shouldn't have done that because people were bashing the movie. I'm not a Star Wars guy,
right?
But I've seen the movies. It's a really good movie.
So I think that if you're not a Star Wars guy, that it's going to be a great movie. Because whatever the last one was, I watched it. And I'm not a Star Wars girl, but I like the movie. But if you're really into it, you're going to find like those little details that's going to either make you upset or make you love it.
They need to get a life. They really do. Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill is a great actor. I'm thinking, okay, here's Mark Hamill. He needs to lose a few lbs. He's on screen. He killed it. I mean, he should be nominated.
What
that's how good he
really?
Was.
Really?
Yes.
I don't. Do you believe Pete McMurray on that?
Come on.
I
mean,
well, did you see the marathon all weekend? Is that what you guys were talking about? They had the Star Wars marathon all weekend.
I saw that
long.
On cable, and I didn't want to get sucked in.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, if you watch the first or second one, they're such bad acting.
It
it's
is.
So horrible. And we just were laughing. I mean, we were actually laughing at it.
Okay.
You know?
But what a great, watch the marathon and then go see the movie.
Yeah.
Then you'll be
the movie is really
changes.
Good. However, Star the movie is, excuse me, the movie is 2.5 hours. Plus, you got 17 minutes of previews, so you're there for almost 3 hours.
Intermissions now. Don't
I had
you
to get
need
up,
to get back
yes.
to intermissions?
I had to get up and walk around at one point.
Any surprises in the movie you can tell us about?
Carrie Fisher. You know, she passed away.
She did.
Yes. She is in the entire movie. And it's eerie seeing her at the end of the movie because you know it's
the
a computer.
Scene.
Yes. CG.
Oh, that's
so it's
right.
so weird and you kind of get choked up at one point. At least I did. And then I got up and got some more popcorn. Okay. it is.
Well, you got choked up. Didn't stop you from suggesting that, that Mark Hamill still loses.
Mark Hamill is good. We'll talk to Nina about it.
I mean, he's a few years older than he was, right?
But if you're doing Star Wars, you're going to get on a treadmill and hire a trainer.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
He looks like an older man.
With no neck. You know what? Did you notice he has no neck?
No.
Okay, well, that's part of the whole deal. He's got a long beard. All right, we need to take a break.
I think he got choked up because we ate too much popcorn.
It's 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. But Mark Hamill, first of all, he was so good in this movie, Star Wars. He looked a little bloated to me. And I'm thinking, if you're doing the biggest movie of the year, you'd want to, you know, pop on a treadmill.
What if he has health problems?
I hope he's okay. He was good. I mean, he was great in this movie.
Well, you just said he deserves an award.
815 area code. I believe Pete is confused. There was no CGI with Carrie Fisher in The Last Jedi. I think you're confused. She died.
I think she just finished the movie.
I don't think she finished the movie. I'll ask Dean. I could be wrong. But I am a Star Wars expert now because I saw it opening weekend. Yeah. Yes. By the way, every movie theater, jam-packed.
For Star Wars?
Assigned seating, too.
There was one Star Wars that came out in the 90s, and I was working at a radio station in Phoenix, and I made our midday host, Curly, I made him sleep outside the theater for 10 days before going in. We called it Curly Wars. And so he slept number one in line in a tent. People would bring him food, but everybody else got in line right behind him.
I've met Curly.
Episode
Did he shower?
Episode 7?
I didn't really watch the Star Wars in the
90s. Was it episode 7?
That was kind of a
It was a big
a
deal.
Dark
it was
time.
Like, you know, it was a big... Maybe, yeah, it was the late 90s.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
It is 8:10. Let's bring in Dean Richards from WGN TV. How are you, my friend?
Beep, beep, beep.
And Jane is here.
Hi, Dean.
Jane.
Yes, I love it. I love talking to you.
All right. First of all, I think I need to apologize because I thought Carrie Fisher did not finish her scenes. We were talking about Star Wars promoting you, Dean, and we got 1,000 text messages. Pete is completely wrong.
Literally 1,000?
Well, maybe 150.
Seven.
At least 100. Yes.
Wow.
I thought she died and didn't finish. But it... Okay, go ahead.
No, I think she did finish.
Okay. Do we know for sure?
Well, if you got 107 emails on the whole thing, I think that they did finish it.
I think they did finish it.
That's what I'm going with.
I think they finished it and then she died.
So at the end of the movie... I thought it seemed a little fake to me. Or did they dub in her voice?
What do you mean? Don't give away anything.
Okay, I'm not. But she was talking and I'm staring at her thinking, that's got to be a computer. So it wasn't?
I don't, don't believe so.
Did you like the movie?
I loved it.
Okay, I loved it too.
Yeah, I loved it. I gave it an A. I loved I just don't want to give away any... spoilers in any way. It's very prophetic. There's a scene at the end of the movie where she's talking with Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
And it's very, very moving because she's talking about the end of the resistance. I'm glad you could be here at the end. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're all thinking,
right?
Well, you're dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you could, to me, it was very prophetic. What she was saying, that there's much, much more to that conversation that she had with Luke Skywalker, that to me that was very prophetic, not only about that episode, not only about this movie, the saga, the future of the resistance leading up to what's obviously going to come in the next episode of Star Wars, but in a life sense, here she is talking to her old friend.
Yeah.
And talking about being here at the end. It's very, very moving.
Mark Hamill. I see him on.
Did you see my picture with him? Did we, when I interviewed him?
I did not.
We took a selfie together, and we were touching cheeks.
He was
on our faces. I mean,
Dean, he was. I was so pleasantly surprised by his performance. I thought at the end, and I don't see as many movies as you do, and if I do, they're stupid movies. But I thought he could be nominated.
Porky's is not a stupid.
Great movie. Great shower scene.
The entire Porky's trilogy.
I think he could be nominated for this. He was that good.
Yeah, he could be. I don't think he will be.
I don't think he will
Has
be, but I thought.
From Star Wars ever been nominated?
Not for Best Picture, certainly. I mean, yeah. It's won some, you know, a lot of special effects awards and things like that. I mean, they, the Academy Award nominations haven't come out yet, but this movie wasn't even released, and they didn't even let critics see it until after the Golden Globes nominations had already come out, the Screen Actors Guild, the Critics' Choice Awards, Disney, who now owns the Star Wars franchise, they could care less if they get any nominations for anything. They got $220 million in the bank this weekend. It's the second highest movie opening of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time, behind Star Wars The Force Awakens that came out 2 years ago. So
wow.
They're like awards schmords. Who cares?
There was movies every hour on the hour on Friday in every single movie theater. Oh, there was lines. Yeah, absolutely. Assigned seating.
Did you go on Friday?
I did. I picked up my son and his buddy Emmett from school, and we went.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I think there's something very exciting about that. And I talked, you know, I was at the AMC River East on Thursday night and met lots of people who have a tradition with either their parents.
Yeah.
With their dad. They always come to the Star Wars openings, or friends. I met a couple of guys who are, I'm going to guess, maybe 35, 40 years old, something like that. They've gone to every single Star Wars opening that there is. One guy doesn't even live in Chicago anymore. He came back to be with his buddy from grade school.
Wow.
So they
they
could watch it together. I think that's part of the fun of the opening weekend is it's seeing the movie, and you know, the vast majority of people really liked the movie. Not everybody did. Some people had some problems with it. And you know, as I say all the time, there are no right or wrong reviews of the movie. It's just everybody's opinion of it, which is great. But you know, so there's the movie and whether you like it or didn't like it, but there is that communal experience that people have when they go to see a movie like this, and you know, talking with fans, and you know, some people are dressed up in their costumes.
There's people dressed up in our theater Friday. Yeah,
what are they liking or not? It's sort of part of their tradition. But what I can't really get through, Dean, is Adam Driver as playing a villain, because I only see Adam Driver as his character on Girls.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I see that all the time.
I'm watching him trying
it's
to be
so
mean,
weird.
And I just see like this little slacker on Girls.
He is a slacker on Girls. And I you're right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But I think really smart for him to take this role.
Well, see, I've never seen one episode of Girls.
Oh, okay.
So well, I don't know him that way. I'm guessing but a lot more people do know him from that. I remember him from other movie roles as well. But to me, he's in that John Malkovich creepy actor category where I've interviewed him several times, and I don't even want to look him directly in the eye. I'm afraid he'll steal my soul.
I agree. That's right.
The movie was 2.5 hours. It could have been 2 hours. They needed to cut the part with the what's his name from the Heineken commercials, Benicio del Toro.
Didn't bother me one bit.
I thought he was fun, but
I like Benicio del Toro.
I know, but they could have. That's 20 minutes of the movie they just didn't need.
Yeah, they want to give the fans as much as they can.
However, I gauge a movie on if my wife would like it, because we're not Star Wars fans in our house. We enjoy the movies. She would like it, so I think this is a mass appeal. It's going to be big. Trust me when I say this.
Oddly, that's
how it's gonna be big.
I've decided that for 2018, that's how I'm going to rate movies. I'm getting rid of this whole grading system.
Yeah, forget
that
the
I've
grading.
Been doing,
Sarah McMurray.
Whether or not Sarah McMurray likes the movie or
would
not.
Would Sarah McMurray like it?
Like, the movie. It's the Sarah scale.
Well, she has the attention. You think I have a short attention span?
What'd you say?
Have a attention. Exactly.
Normally, I hate 2.5 hour movies. You know, because 99% of the time they're not done very well.
Yes.
And it seems like a 5.5 hour movie. The length of this movie did not bother me one bit. Would you agree And again, you're so close to giving away spoilers, Pete.
I'm not I'm doing it,
I'm going to come down
though.
There with a roll of duct tape in a minute.
Joe Romano is producing today. He keeps talking to me in my ear. Will you stop? I haven't seen the movie yet.
Duct tape, this man. The last 40 minutes of this movie is so exciting.
It's great.
And it elevates it. So, I mean, if you feel like the movie's starting to get long, that the last Sweet. 40 minutes is, wow.
I'm going at 11 a.m.
It's mind-blowing.
10:05, I'll be there.
It's good stuff.
Highly, highly, highly recommended. And, so it almost broke the record for the biggest domestic box office opening ever.
How close was it?
It was about 20 million off. And I'm not super surprised about this, because how long did we wait to get the last Star Wars movie? It was like a decade.
Yeah.
So it was a really long time.
Right.
So The Force Awakens was much more anticipated. Than this one. I think that probably everybody at Disney is very, very, very happy.
$220 million in the opening weekend? I think that's pretty good.
Just in the opening weekend.
And wait till Christmas. I mean, so many people, that's their tradition around Christmas time to go see Star Wars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
And
to
see
go,
a movie.
To go see that. A lot of people, they purposely don't like to go on opening weekend because it's so crowded. But also, what's going to happen this week, we have 7 new movies opening this week for the Christmas weekend. We have the new Hugh Jackman musical, The Greatest Showman.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Jumanji with The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Pitch Perfect 3 that's opening this week. We've got the Matt Damon movie Downsizing, the Owen Wilson movie Father Figures this week. I, Tanya, the Tanya Harding movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'll review later in the week, a longer review. But you've
seen it, right?
Awesome.
It's awesome?
It's awesome, and it's so weird.
Because that was her life.
It's what really happened.
Right.
It's the weirdest. I learned a lot of things about Tanya Harding that I never knew. So we have all of those opening this week. Then the first week of January, we've got this Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep movie, The Post, which is also awesome. But here in Chicago,
really?
We have to wait till January 5th.
I always think if a movie opens in January, it's going to be a dog. I just told Jane and Dave, that's got to be a dog movie because it's opening up in January.
Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not a dog movie. They're opening it in New York and L.A. before the first of the year.
Got it.
I don't completely understand why they're doing this. I think they're trying to avoid, let all the other movies battle it out. This one's going to get all kinds of Academy Award nominations. I promise you that.
This is good.
It's directed by Steven Spielberg. It's Tom Hanks.
Never heard of him.
It's Meryl Streep, Bob Odenkirk. I mean, it's an amazing ensemble, and it's a really fascinating story about freedom of the press.
Right.
The release of the Pentagon Papers back in the 1970s. So we have got tons of great new movies that are opening that will compete with Star Wars and Coco and all the other movies that are currently out right now.
Well, Dean, hold on. We're going to talk to Gene Simmons and Jason Priestley right after traffic, okay?
Sounds great.
All right.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Rick.
Dean Richards from Channel 9, 826. Pete McMurray, Jane Monsouris, and for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow. Dean, I have to say, I wasn't surprised to hear that Gene Simmons was accused of sexual assault.
Has he also assaulted you through the years?
Well, he always claims that he's had sex with more than 3,000 women.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. He has been very boastful about that.
Yes.
Through the years. Not so fashionable anymore for people to do that.
No.
And now a radio interviewer is accusing him, has filed a lawsuit and accusing him of unwanted sexual advances during an interview in which she claims that Gene Simmons forcefully placed her hand on his knee and held it there during the entire interview. And then when they were taking a photograph afterwards, reached around and grabbed her posterior region. And also claims that he was turning questions into sexual innuendos that made the woman feel...
Of course he was.
It's called rock radio.
Well, you can't grab somebody's booty.
No, you can't do that.
I can't tell you the number of times Pete has grabbed my booty.
Well, we're friends. I can do that.
The forcefully putting your hand on your knee, that's what concerns me.
I never understood the grab. Does that work for people?
The knee grab or the booty grab?
No, the booty grab.
No, it's gross.
I never understood that.
I don't understand any of this. Like, you know, any of this is supposed to happen, and you're going to go, you know what? I just thought this over. I want you so badly right now.
Gosh. Yeah.
Just the way you grab my booty.
It is gross. So anyway, she's filed the lawsuit, Gene Simmons, vowing to fight the accusations and obviously deny it all.
My favorite story of the weekend was about Jason Priestley.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not.
I love this, too. At the height of his 90210 popularity, he was invited to a post-Golden Globes party that was being thrown by Harvey Weinstein, who at the time was head of Miramax Pictures. Something happened at this party in which Harvey Weinstein told him that he had to leave the party, that he was being kicked out. So as he was leaving, Weinstein, according to Priestley's Twitter page, Weinstein grabs his arm to, like, you know, physically escort him out of the party. Priestley says that that was the end of it, that he pushed back when Weinstein grabbed his arm and punched him in the face.
How about that?
Punched him in the face. Security guards broke them up. Priestley was ejected from the party, but shared this story over the weekend because he says that he was kind of blackballed in the industry for a while because of Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
As a result of this, and he says, very much like what Weinstein accusers Mira Sorvino and Ashley Judd went through when they refused his advances.
I love that. I love that he punched Harvey Weinstein in the face.
Gotta love a good face punching.
Good for him.
I was curious what happened to Jason Priestley after 90210. You didn't see him a lot, so maybe that was because he claims that was this.
Right.
He claims that this was part of the deal, which really is amazing, isn't it? That one person, there's more people hiring actors than just Harvey Weinstein, but apparently his claim is that the influence was so great that Weinstein was able to keep him from getting a job.
Yeah, and not only on him, but on the women, too.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And before you go, Dean, I want to talk Foo Fighters from SNL.
Oh, I love this. I love this. They were the musical guests on SNL over the weekend. They did a great job. But they did a little Christmas medley at the end of the show. Well, listen to it a little bit.
Yeah.
A one, a two. Here we go.
Do we have it? We don't have it?
We don't have it.
We have the Foo Fighters?
Well, we can just sing the Foo Fighters.
By the way, I watched on Saturday. Kevin Hart, I don't think worked. When it, opening monologue, I don't know if anybody saw it, when he was talking about his wife and his kids, knowing that he cheated on his wife a few months ago, and he acted like everything was fine. I thought it was odd, and I thought the whole monologue thing did not work.
Yeah, I was not enthralled by it. And then they did that bit where he's like in a... They did the meeting in the conference room.
Oh, yeah.
That was
really very uncomfortable.
Very lame.
No one was laughing.
Can we get back to Dave Grohl?
Yes.
I love Dave Grohl.
Do we have Dave Grohl, or do we save that for tomorrow?
It's
we don't have
there.
It?
Yeah, it's there.
Mary's giving me the wave-off sign. Mm. Okay.
It's in there.
But so
it was great.
We love Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl can do no wrong. Dave Grohl's the coolest guy on earth.
Good.
I love Dave Grohl.
Dean was very excited about it.
I know. Dean, I'm so upset.
Sandberg?
I'm sure it's in there, Dean. Our film producer doesn't have access to your drive, so we can't access it currently.
Oh, well.
Shoot.
He did a medley of the Foo Fighters song, Everlong, that slammed into a rockin' version of Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, into a searing version of Linus and Lucy from A Charlie Brown Christmas.
He's the coolest ever.
It was awesome. And he's got a red Christmas sweater on.
Yes, the ugly Christmas sweater.
And they are just rocking. It's been years and years and years since someone came up with a new Christmas song that
is
destined to become a Christmas classic. That medley, I promise you, will be that. So you'll just have to take my word for it.
Or are we going to have to search for it? I'm gonna download it and make it my ringtone just because it's Dave Grohl on Christmas.
Everybody loves Dave Grohl.
It's awesome.
Dean, you're the best.
It's on YouTube. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, soon.
Cochran's back tomorrow, but...
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
We may talk soon if we don't. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Kala Christina.
Oh, look at you with the Greek Christmas green.
Jeez, the Greeks. Thanks, buddy.
I had to get it in.
Coming up next, the big story. President Trump, national national security strategy. We'll hear about that with Ryan Burroughs next on 720 WGN.
Ditka. Well, it's coming right now, right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
the Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best Bears conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
Well, the Bears are 4-10. They are in dead last place in the NFC North. Dave, what did you think of the game on Saturday?
Well, it was a little tough to watch.
Oh. Let's bring in the coach, Coach Ditka. Coach, you coached up a young Jim McMahon. You started him as a rookie. Mitch Trubisky, rookie, had three picks on Saturday as the head coach. What do you say to him?
Well, I just don't think you can put everything on Mitch's shoulders. I mean, he's trying to make plays out there. Right now they're trying to score points and make plays. And I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a great quarterback in this league. I really do. I think you got to get the other pieces around him. But I like him. You know, and maybe that's me. You know, a lot of people didn't like McMahon. I like McMahon. I think McMahon's a winner. I think Mitch is a winner. I think, but you got to have the other pieces, and you got to got to be able to do that. And they're doing a lot of things pretty darn good. You know, but they seem to be coming out on the short end.
Well, there's no consistency. I mean, they have a great week last week, and then they show up on Saturday and do this.
I agree with you. Some days, you know, they look like they got a great running game, and then they look like they don't have a great running game. And, you know, I think it's a lot of things, but I think the biggest thing you have to have, really, you got to really believe in what you're doing. And then you go out there and do it. You know, it's not going to be perfect every game. It's not going to be exactly what you want every time, but you got to be able to overcome that. If the offense makes mistakes, then the defense has got to pick them up, and vice versa. That's all there is to it.
The tough thing is to maintain whatever momentum you get from a big win over Cincinnati to carry it into the next week. So now the season's down to two games. You've got the Browns coming in here on Sunday, 0-14. How much progress can a team make the final 2 weeks of the season?
Well, I don't know how much progress, but I think, you know, your confidence level. I mean, I think that's important. Now, they should beat the Browns. There's no question about that. They should beat the Browns. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they should beat the Browns. I mean, the Browns have not won a football game. They're a bad organization right now, top to bottom. So, I mean, you know, they make bad decisions. So, but I mean, they got a good quarterback. The kids say, because I was going to be a good quarterback, but, you know, they're not a good football team. There's nothing else I can say. And so the Bears should win that one. But, you know, is that something to build on? Well, it's a win. It doesn't matter who you beat. Win wins right now. You're not going anywhere.
We'll take it.
Yeah? You can't get in the playoffs right now. I mean, the years, you know, and I think right now what's the hardest thing is, it really is, and I've been on teams and coached teams that when there's no chance, you know, the old saying is the guys already had the bags packed and the car started, you know, to get out of Dodge. I hope that's not the case. I hope they go out there and they play with pride the last 2 weeks, play hard, try to get two wins, give them something to build on. I mean, it's been a hectic year. I mean, if you're a Bears fan, which I am, it's not easy to watch sometimes.
No.
Well, Dave, ask him what you asked Hamp. I mean, what's their record against people in our division?
Well, no, I mean, they've gone 3-14 the last 3 years against the NFC North.
3-14.
You know, and your priority, Mike, was always to dominate the NFC, what was then the NFC Central.
Right.
You have to win your division. You have to win more games than you lose in your division if you expect to win your division. It would be a fluke if you didn't. It would be a fluke. So that's the main thing we concentrated on, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota. If we could come out of that thing with a positive record, then you got a chance. You really do. If you come out of there 4-2, you got a chance. Mm-hmm. Or 5-1 would be great. But, I mean, if you don't, you got problems because, you know, you're going to have some other teams thrown in there. You're playing that are very good teams in other divisions and even in the AFC. So, I mean, it's imperative that you control your division, at least come out of there on the plus side.
That is so true. And John Fox is done after the season. I mean, everyone knows that it's going to happen. Unfortunately, Coach, you've been in that position. What goes through a head coach's mind when you know that you're done after the season?
Well, it's a bad feeling. It's really not good. I mean, it's, you know, it'd be simple if you could just say, well, this was John's fault. It's not John's fault. You know, everybody has to take blame when it doesn't go right. You know, you got a lot of people in the organization working, drafting, bringing in personnel, things like that. You know, it didn't work. Is John Fox a good coach? Yes, he's a good coach. I mean, you become a much better coach when you got good players. A lot of teams, and, you know, I take New England and I watch them, and New England's a really good football organization, top to bottom. But they got a great coach, but they got a great quarterback. But some of the other guys, I mean, you never heard of Gronkowski, yeah. But what I mean, you got receivers, you don't really know who they are. They're just guys. They put them out. They put the system together and they make it work. And I think there's a thing, and I maybe it's old-fashioned, maybe I'm old-fashioned. You play for the love of the game, you play with pride. And if you don't do that, you're going to have problems.
All right. Did you see the end of the Patriots-Steelers game yesterday? And do you understand the catch rule any better than anybody else seems to right now?
I thought it was a touchdown. I mean, I watched the whole thing, and I thought it was a touchdown. I don't know nothing else. I know the ball came loose once he pushed it over the goal line. But that's all I saw. You know, I would say one thing that, you know, refereeing in the National Football is not easy. But you're paid to get it right. Get it right. You get it right. Period. So I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, if you got instant replaying, I thought after even the instant replay that the ball crossed the goal line before it moved. But that's only my opinion. I mean, you know, and opinions are like, you know, noses. We all have
one. Nicely done.
Yes, very good. And Coach, before you go, I want to tell people that they need to stop by Ditka's over the holidays to see one of the greatest singers in Chicago, a guy that I love, and he's worked for you forever, and he puts your photo on Instagram at least twice a week. I'm talking about John Vincent.
Yeah, you know, I get John's one of my best friends, and I hired him a long time ago, and he's just great. I mean, he does a lot of things. You know, he started out as a kind of a Sinatra impersonator, but he does everything. I mean, he can sing Christmas songs as well as you ever heard him sing Ave Maria, things like that. The guy is good. I don't know why he's singing it. It should be a lot better. He must like us. He must like the food or something. I don't know what's going on, but he really is good. If you people haven't heard him, just go in there and listen to him on a weekend. You'll hear some. You'll hear a guy that sings not only well, but he sings from his heart. And I think that's the most important thing you can do if you're an entertainer. You know, put it all in there and give it all. And I think that's what he does.
Coach, Merry Christmas.
God bless you guys. Take care. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Coach Ditka.
I love him. He's great.
Yeah,
I can listen to him all day.
We all have a nose, don't we? Yes, that was a good catch.
Everybody's got one.
Coach.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We got three really big weeks ahead of us.
It's wedding season, kid. I got us down for 17 of them already.
Okay, now how many of them are cash bars?
Great question. Love where your head's at. And two of them actually are. But I got us covered. Grab that net and catch that beautiful butterfly, pal. What do you like better, Christmas or wedding season?
Mr. Gray.
Yes, the answer would be wedding season.
Bingo.
Whoa! You make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands.
8:54, Pete McMurray, Jane Monsuris, Dave Ennett, Steve Cochran back tomorrow. Something happened over the weekend. An old friend from all of us and here at WGN got married over the weekend, and we wanted to wish him a very big congratulations. On the phone with us is Bill Curtis. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Well, you're not exactly the first to wish me congratulations, but you're the part of the family now, so that's wonderful.
I love it. You know, I dated my wife for 3.5 years. Dave, how long did you date your wife before you got married?
About 3.5 years.
3.5 years, yeah. Okay. Bill, I'm just curious. Your wife, how long did you two date?
We dated for 40 years.
So soon, decided to get hitched.
Well, he thought maybe it was time. 40 years. After 40 years, you turned to Donna, who we all love, and said, hey, maybe it's time to do this or what?
Maybe it's time. Actually, I had done it before, but she's a woman, and I should say a girl, from the 60s. And, you know, it was a time of rebellion. My line in my vows was, I was a Marine, she was arrested by the Marines protesting at the Pentagon building. Of course, we all forget those times, and that it just kind of morphs into a marriage-like relationship. But, you know, I've just been thinking, preceding your interview here, that it is an interesting difference. It's a mental difference. And, you know, some good, some bad. The good is that when you live together, even for 40 years, you mentally are aware that in many ways you're dating, you know, because none of the restrictions legally apply.
Right.
On the other hand, now that I've slipped into the more traditional relationship, I guess I am more relaxed. And the problem is you can sort of take things for granted. So it's, you know, you give some, you take it away. So it's kind of interesting.
I love that she held out for you. You didn't hold out for her. So she said, no, I'm not ready. And when did you first ask her? How many years ago?
Oh, I can't even remember. Over 40 years.
She just wanted to see if it would last.
Quote, the kids those days were so committed to changing the world, and it was a cultural revolution that, you know, she began to think like that and think differently. So, I mean, and that's one of the appeals. I mean, I really went for that. I was a straight kid, the wheat still sticking out of my ears when I came to Chicago in 1966. So it was, you know, they say opposites attract. You know, I'm not sure quite about that, but one thing that did attract us was work. This was an office romance.
Oh, yeah. Started that channel, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And we both loved the same thing, which was work, journalism, stories, performing, getting it on the air. She was the producer. I was the, you know, the reporter who goes out and gets it, and the anchorman who presents it. So that was, there's a sex appeal.
Sure, you like the rock
office.
Star. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a Stockholm syndrome.
So was your big day all that you dreamed it up to be after 40 years?
It was a surprise. We were there in the Illinois Supreme Court chambers, not chambers, but the courtroom, Justice Ann Burke presiding. And Donna laid out portfolios or folders in front of, you know, about three couples, friends that were observing. And they had pictures of the family, pictures of us over 40 years. And then she presented an argument why we should get married. I was given a few minutes to present a rebuttal, but was and I was railroaded right down the aisle. But she was very good and went back and highlighted the various stages because it's a life.
God, that's she going to change her last name
together?
Now?
Oh, she that's she, a great
did
question.
Did she take your last name?
I've always wanted to be Italian. So,
you'll take her name.
Oh, that's funny. Bill, congratulations. I met Donna years ago, and I thought she was just stunning in person. And the pictures that I see today that are online, I mean, she is just a beautiful woman.
Meow,
and
yeah.
When we all found out, we were very happy, and we just wanted to say congratulations.
Well, thank you. You know, she has kind of eclipsed me in terms of success. She is the president of the Millennium Park Foundation, which started, you know, along with Daley to raise the money to build the park. And she has a number of other boards and things. So maybe she got married so she could have more time.
She's a good woman. Yes. Bill, well, have a Merry Christmas. Great to talk to you.
And same to you guys. Right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bill and Donna, married.
How sweet.
A 40-year courtship.
I'm nervous. I hope Kurt does not hear that they dated for 40 years.
How long have you and Kurt been dating?
4 years.
Oh, boy.
Four. Four going on 36 40.
36 to go.
Time for a break. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do.
It is 9:09. We are live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzura sitting in today alongside Dave Ennett.
Hi, Pete. Hi,
and
Dave.
Of course, Mary upstairs on 7. Cochran back tomorrow. Our next guest, there you can see on CLTV, he competed on American Ninja Warriors for 4 years. You talk about a show that the McMurrays watch over and over. I have a 12-year-old kid. Charlie McMurray can't get enough of this. In season 8, he went to the finals in Las Vegas. I can't stand him because I know he's got great abs, and he's got a great core. In studio with us is Ethan Swanson. It's great to see you, man.
Hi, Ethan.
Yeah, Pete, Jane, Dave, thank you guys for having me so much. This is awesome.
Did you do planks before the show today?
Not this morning, right after I leave, probably, yeah. You know, with you guys, right?
I mean,
yeah, we'll do some planks.
I look at you guys, you're in such great shape. How do you train? What do you do?
You know, it's a lot of fun-based training, honestly. Like, we rock climb, we do gymnastics, we do American Ninja Warrior, and then we train ninja, but it feels fun, so it doesn't feel like you're working out. It just feels like you're having a good time, and you get a great workout doing it.
But you were already sort of, before you were doing this, very physically active. You're already sort of a daredevil. Like, you'll throw yourself through the air without any training. Right? I mean, I've seen you like run and throw yourself hurtling through the air over like multiple obstacles.
Yeah, I think I've got a couple of those parts missing in my brain that tell me to stop doing some stuff. But it's once again just having fun. I like to move around, and I feel like all the ninjas on the show are like that. And so many kids around that watch the show are like that too. They just want to play and jump around and fly off things and climb stuff, you know?
Dave, you're a fan of the show.
I am a fan of the show. And I've always wondered when you're going through the course, and who's that? Ms. Matt Eisman, right? Is the guy?
Yeah.
So
Matt Nachbar.
Yeah, Matt. Are you hearing when they're saying, "All right, Ethan has trouble with this here. And last time, this is where it ended." Are you hearing
that? That's a great point. So you can't hear them at all until you get to the top of the warp wall, and then you're like 15 feet away from them. And then you can start conversing with them and stuff. But it's actually funny because you don't know their comments until you watch the show later. So I remember when I was on the steps my first year. I was a math actuary before I was, you know, a ninja coach, ninja manager.
Because that's the same thing.
Yeah, isn't that the normal progression?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, one goes into the other. But, but I remember Akbar was like, "Oh, he's a self-proclaimed math nerd." And I was like, I didn't even know he was saying that stuff, you know? But no, I do consider myself a math nerd, so he wasn't taking a jab at me at all or anything. It's just funny to hear that stuff afterwards, you know?
God, when you look at that course, I mean, where you hold the pole and you do pull-ups when you're jumping.
Yeah. Salmon ladders,
my God. But then you get to the next one and you got to hold. It's like you try to move your body where you're grabbing a board and you're jumping from board to board.
That's
but you
right.
only
That's
have what? Like, what do you have, 2 inches on each side or an inch and a half to grab?
The obstacles change every year, so you never know what you're going to get. So that the wave runner, yeah, when you grab onto both sides, both sides move, so you have to move both hands at the same time. You're like hopping on your hands. And then what's the funnest part is that you never know what you're going to get. So when you get there, all of the ninjas are sitting around trying to strategize because you don't get to try anything before you go on the show.
Right.
You feel like you've tried to prep for it ahead of time, but they come up with these ridiculous obstacles. I feel like the current day, the last season, I'm watching and I'm thinking, no one can get past the third obstacle. Like, nobody finishes. Whereas back in the early days of it, everyone was finishing, but the obstacles are far more difficult than they were.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like any sport. I mean, people train, and now there are gyms that are popping up all over the place, and everyone's training way more and way harder. So the obstacles have to get harder, and they definitely have.
What's the hardest part?
For me, well, it's different for each ninja, but for me, it's the really grippy finger strength stuff. So there's an obstacle called the cliffhanger where you have to, you know, traverse a large gap on just your fingertips. And that, for me, I've got a lot of work to do.
God, it's all about the core, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It is.
Core. I mean, the way you move your legs and hips makes a huge difference. And that's, you know, we teach kids that a lot because you see people on their fingers, but you don't realize your legs and hips do a lot of the work for you too.
Speaking about your fingertips, so I host Living Healthy Chicago. We were out at one of the gyms. Ethan was showing me how to show me the ropes, basically. What they made me do was put my fingertips on little pegs that were coming out of the wall, and they wanted me to move.
Yeah,
that was I couldn't even hang there. I have my knees up. I'm hanging. I slip off. I couldn't even move my arms. I couldn't even go one block.
No, you're not giving yourself enough credit. That was the cliffhanger you're doing, and there are progressions. So we had you hang there for a little bit at first, which you did awesome on, and then we went to move.
And I fell.
And I think you need a little more practice, so we got to see you in the gym some more.
What is the key to moving like that?
Yeah, upper body strength
The cliffhanger is, that one's one of the toughest ones, is you have to have the grip strength for it. There's no way to cheat it. There's no tricks. You got to have the grip strength.
The plexiglass wall where you put your legs.
I love that.
You have to jump with your legs through the
wall. The jumping spider, yeah, that's...
I don't think I could do that.
Sure you can.
I guarantee you could.
It's fun.
You come out to the gym. We have the jumping spider there. We're getting the jumping spider at both of our new locations, too. That one is a huge fan favorite, too, and the kids love to do it. I love to do it because you feel like you hit a trampoline to jump into it.
Right.
And you feel like you're floating.
Well, the trampoline's great.
Dave, you could do that.
Haven't they added, do you call them obstacles? I don't know. I mean, they are obstacles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
Have they added some that are suggested by viewers? They design them?
They actually last year had a competition where kids, parents, adults, anybody could submit drawings and plans for obstacles, and they actually had one obstacle submitted by fans in every single region, and one of them they brought back for stage two in Vegas because it was so awesome, called the Wing Nuts, and that one actually took out almost all the competitors in stage two. It was crazy.
I remember I go to Vegas every single year, and I remember we flew over that, and I'm like, oh my God, I've seen that on TV. It's enormous when you look at that obstacle course.
Oh yeah,
from the air, it's like, oh my God, how do you get through this thing?
It is huge, and then when you're up close, you know, it looks enormous. Also, you're kind of looking up there, like, oh, I have to do this, but it's great when you step on the course.
And they have a problem there with wind too, right? In Vegas, that they're kind of exposed to the wind, and like, do you tape at like 4 a.m. or something? There's some weird schedule.
So I mean, you watch it on TV, it's all filmed at night, but you have 100 competitors to get through. So we end up running between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. So kind of luck of the draw, depending on
what?
Where you fall.
My You're
first year. Yeah, first year I ran at 4 a.m. in St. Louis. It was 25 degrees and I'm wearing a t-shirt and shorts, shivering at the starting line, and they pan to the crowd. Everyone's in Eskimo gear. You can
of
only
course.
See their eyes.
Yeah.
But it's all adrenaline. It doesn't matter. I mean, once you stand the course, you don't even know.
You got to stay warm though. Before, if it's 4 a.m, you're freezing. You got to loosen up.
Yeah, you're jumping around doing push-ups. Everybody's warming up,
and then you get that shock.
4 a.m. morning. Can you imagine doing that course at 4 a.m.?
What about the water? Doesn't it freeze?
It is pretty cold.
When you fall in, it's got to be shocking. Like, I see the guys fall in, they're like, oh, no big deal. I mean, that would be the hardest part for me.
Yeah, well, that's the hardest part, is falling in the water for sure. Yeah, it's
oh my gosh,
it's
I didn't
cold.
Even think about that. Right. That's right. You fall in the water and you freeze.
Yeah.
Ethan Swanson's in studio with us. We're going to take a break and we're going to talk about the Ultimate Ninja locations. There's three now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. One in Chicago and then two, Naperville and Libertyville now.
Oh, got it. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show. 720 WGN.
919, we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Manzuris, Dave Ennett in studio with us is Ethan Swanson from American Ninja Warriors. The Ultimate Ninja locations, there's three now around Chicago. There's one on Montrose on the north side, and there's going to be one in Naperville and Libertyville. And who just walked in the studio? Do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, this is Karen Sabo, and she is one of us at Ultimate Ninjas as well. She's one of us. Yeah, she's been
she's
on American Ninja,
Ninja
Warrior. We train a ton together. We coach a bunch of kids. It's
God, that high five even felt like it hurt.
The strength in the hands right there in that high five.
Why do you guys like to do this? It looks like it's painful. Karen,
yeah, Karen,
come up to the microphone. Hop up. Why do you like to do this?
It is just such a fun way to push and challenge yourself in ways that you aren't used to doing. And also just being with some of the most fun people I have ever been with in my life. Like, I grew up playing soccer. I played soccer at Arizona State, which is a team sport. And you watch Ninja Warrior, and it doesn't look like a team sport, but it so much is, more so than any other sport, because everybody's there trying to help you. They want to see you do well.
Right.
You know, if there's an obstacle that they know you may have a struggle with, or maybe one of your weaknesses, and you get through it, everybody just erupts, and it's such an awesome feeling of camaraderie.
What's your weakness?
My weakness is anything where you really have to kip your hips and engage that core. I know we were talking about that a minute ago.
Oh, core.
Yeah, I have a lingering soccer injury from 20 years ago in college, and it's pretty prohibitive of me in throwing that core, throwing my hips forward. So,
shoot. Talk about the course, because from a female perspective, I'm watching the course. I see the guys doing it. The girls get up there and do the exact same course. They don't get, you know, the to tee off at a quicker, you know, shorter place. No. They don't get any, you know, extra perks. You do.
You want to be equal,
exactly. Exactly.
How do you get through it? I mean, okay, yes. Yeah, so girls are lighter. But we still have to have that upper body strength.
Sure.
It's not common for women to have all that.
No. And again, being a soccer player, upper body strength was never anything I really needed. So it's something I've only been doing Ninja, I think, 3 years now. I've been working at it a lot. But everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. Every body type has their own strengths and weaknesses. You know, you'll look at some guys and they're 6.5 feet tall. And then there's some people that are, you know, 5 feet tall. So you have to know where your own strengths and weaknesses are and play to that.
What about the warped wall? Because it seems to me that sometimes they'll get to the warped wall and they'll just go for it right away and clear it, boom. And then other times they'll stop, try to gather themselves.
Yes.
And it seems like though
gather yourself.
Sometimes.
Why in a rush?
Have
but,
time.
But Pete, sometimes it's, yeah, they are being timed, but sometimes. Correct me if I'm wrong, it almost seems like the more time you wait, because don't you have the adrenaline pumping right then? And is it better to just go for it rather than stop and pause a little bit?
It depends on who you ask. I think a lot of the ninjas would say it's better to kind of gather yourself and relax for a second, because an American Ninja Warrior, you need to stay calm. If you make one mistake, your whole season and the entire year is over. And I've fallen in the water every year, so I've experienced that 4 separate times, but... you need to, if you rush onto something and you make one little mistake, you're in the water, and then you got to wait another whole year before you even get to attempt it
again. Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, you're done. Our season is over.
So relax. Yes.
One run. Okay.
Take a beat.
Because I'm going right for it. Yeah. I just want to make that statement now.
Well, fortunately, with the wall, you have 3 shots. So you could just go for it your first time. If you don't make it, you have two more times to regroup.
It's true.
But didn't they shorten that running distance from where you used to start? It used to be longer. Now they've shortened that.
Yeah, they always change it. So, I mean, we've been expecting that they might change the warp wall coming up soon. But, you know, who knows? It's such a staple. They're not going to remove it.
No.
You never know. They changed it. They made it 6 inches higher 2 years ago.
Ugh. God, talking about this whole course makes me nervous.
It does. So they change it. It's 6 inches higher. My favorite part is they keep the line on the wall from when the original height was. So if you see someone miss it by like an inch and you see their hand above that old line, you go, they would have made
that's
the
what the line
one.
Is for.
It's a mental thing.
We were there this last year. Everybody's the big question was, did it go 6 inches higher? Is it 15 feet this year? Because there was rumors that they took it up another 6 inches, but they kept it at 14 and a half.
So people stop by the locations around Chicago. Are they going to see all this stuff, including the warped wall?
I mean, our gyms are modeled after the show, because everyone watches the show, and kids watch it at home, and they're like, I want to try that. I want to do that. And the best part about it is our gyms are designed so that we have all the things you see in the show at different difficulty levels. So the warp wall is a perfect example. We have the 14 and a half foot, just like show, and then we have 12 foot, we have the 10 foot, we have the 8 foot. So a 6-year-old goes and tackles the 8 foot.
4 foot's my speed.
I would bet you could get up the 10 foot, if not the 12 foot.
I think I did. I went to the gym. Did I get up the 10 foot?
I got the 6 foot. No, you got up the 10 foot.
I got the 10 foot.
Yeah,
that's
it.
It
was the green one.
I didn't go up that really tall one that flips over like a wave.
Yeah, it's the one on the show. You know,
What about for adults? Do you have programs for adults?
We do. We have a new program. It's called UltaFit, and it's functional fitness. It's like HIIT workouts, high intensity training, and then we have another program called OC Fusion, which is, you know, functional fitness combined with obstacle training, and it's run by Brian Redard, who is an ultimate beast master. It's a show similar to American Ninja Warrior, but he's amazing, and you got to come try him out. They're adult programs only. It's great.
Is it at all three of the locations, the adult program?
So right now, it's in Naperville in Chicago. We just started it the last couple of months. So once those start to blow up, we're going to move it out to Libertyville, and it's going to be at all of our gyms.
place.
Well, you're talking to three people that love taking classes. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dave's taking a class today at noon. Jane and I have done classes together. Yeah.
We got you guys covered. Come in the gym anytime.
We're all about it.
Absolutely.
So you're including like your interval training or what you're doing along with some of those the challenges?
Yeah, we have like two types of classes. One is just like functional fitness HIIT training without obstacles. So it's weights, barbells, stuff like that. And then the other one is OC Fusion that includes kind of both, so that you are on the obstacles and having fun and trying a bunch of stuff out. It's super awesome. I've done a class. Brian sets it all up, and they're amazing.
Wasn't your nickname Beastmaster?
It was, yes. I thought so. Because I had hair on my back, but that's a different story.
Karen, do you have a nickname?
Do I have a
nickname?
Yes,
you do. You what is it? You have to say it.
Sabo Fabulous.
Sabo Fabulous.
And Ethan, you're the daredevil.
Yep, yeah. That's mine.
2 weeks from today is New Year's Day. People have New Year's resolutions. For people that are listening right now that don't really work out, any advice to get them jump-started?
Yeah, start slow. Find something you love. Find something you can get passionate about. Because if it doesn't feel like a workout and it's more fun, you're going to have a lot. You're going to have a lot more fun doing it, and you'll see results quicker.
Yeah, I think people are picking up on that a lot more. You see people rock climbing, you see people doing ninja workouts. It's people are trying to find things that are fun, because I think the days of going to a gym and just, you know, pumping weights are starting to close, because people want to have fun. They want to do cool things while they're getting good workout.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're with the group of people and you're all in it together. Yep. You know, we're all doing it together.
Exactly.
So you do the high five just like you guys did.
Yep.
The high five. We'll get
when
there.
Do that?
UltimateNinjas.com is the website where people can get information.
That's right. Yeah. Just search Ultimate Ninjas. And that'll get you there too.
And when your kids are out there on those obstacles, trainers are out there making sure that they're doing them properly, not getting hurt. So it's safe for the kids.
Absolutely.
That's what
that's
I love
our,
about it.
Our number one thing is safety. When you go to
it's true.
Gyms, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you I drop know. A kid off here for a birthday party or something.
Excuse,
you
want bananas in there.
Break an arm. Karen Sabo, Ethan Swanson, thanks for coming in. Great to meet you guys.
Thank you guys
Thanks
so
for
much
us.
For having us. This is really great.
Go Ninjas.
Go Ninjas. It's 720 WGN.
Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening.
Love it.
A beautiful sight.
I'm so excited. Seven more days of Christmas music.
7 days. So we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Lots of people to meet this week for drinks. You know, you always see that person once a year. I got to get it in before Friday. I'm out every single night this week.
Isn't it tough? It takes a toll. Plus, you got to do all that shopping and you got to do all the prepping.
I haven't done anything. I've ordered one thing for my wife.
Well, that's it.
And we weren't going to exchange gifts.
Yeah, but you have to order.
But you and Sandberg said, Sandberg said no, you said yes.
And then you got to get her to the PJ-gram.
The pajama-gram?
Yeah.
I'm on it. I'm with it. Here's a question for you. I have three godchildren. One's in college. How much do I give her?
$50.
Okay.
Why is a blank stare?
I'm just asking.
I mean...
She's in college?
College.
Yeah, she needs money.
Junior in college.
She working? Yeah, give her $50.
$50, that's what I thought.
Oh, yeah, money's good. Or a gift card.
Mary, you have nieces and nephews you have to give for and godchildren.
Yeah,
how about a sixth grader? What do you give?
Oh, sixth grader? I don't have any in that weird age. Amazon gift cards are good for everybody.
He wanted the hockey puck thing that you talked to. What's it called? The Amazon...
Echo. Or the Dot.
The Dot.
The Dot.
Thank you. Yes. The Dot.
How much is that?
Then you get him the Dot.
$29.99.
Get him the Dot.
Get him the Dot.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ordered
perfect.
It yesterday.
Because
it
by
arrives
the way,
Tuesday.
You
as long as Santa
kid,
doesn't have
if you gave him $29.95 or whatever, he'd be like, thanks a lot. But you get him the Dot, and it's an actual item. So now he got something great.
I gave him $25 last year, and I wrapped up a rake. Because I thought a rake would be funny unwrapping in front of the family.
For the kid?
It's a little dangerous, isn't it?
It was so funny. He opened it up. He's like, what is this? And
like
he opens
opening
it and
up
sees a rake and his face just drops.
Get to work, honey.
Jack McMurray gets
Pete.
A rake. All right. I have a 4-year-old godson. Another one.
What does he want?
I don't know. Clothes.
You have to get a toy for a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Toys?
Toy. You got to do a toy.
I got him a Bears jersey.
Is he a Bears fan?
Well, he's going to be.
Can you get him a Bears jersey and a toy?
I got Howard. Got him a Howard jersey.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, because he's going to be around for a while.
Here.
Yeah.
I'd get him a toy, too.
I'm going to
get him a
toy.
Football.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Or get him a Nerf jersey. A Nerf football. That
done.
That's great.
People.
That's a theme
okay.
gift right there.
Right.
Yeah. He's, right, he's literally writing it down.
All right.
So he doesn't forget.
This is actually, I'm doing work for myself right now.
Would you like us to order the gifts for you?
Could you do that?
I can wrap them.
We could
really
go shopping for you this afternoon.
I'd like that. Can you run across the street to Nordstrom?
And then we'll dress up like Santa and drop them off.
I mentioned this earlier. My wife and I aren't exchanging gifts, and I needed to get her something just so she opens it. But I also bought myself something. Got myself a waterproof speaker, a standalone Bluetooth speaker. I can't wait to open it on Christmas. I'm so excited.
Are you going swimming soon?
I don't know. Just to have it. You have it outside. You can take it anywhere.
He needs
the Bluetooth.
In the shower?
It's just a little bit. It's like a mini, a little bit bigger than a mini football.
Pete, you're not the guy that walks around with tunes playing around you.
No, but you can take it on the back deck. You can just take it anywhere. You're in a hotel room in Vegas. You can crank up the tunes.
Sitting outside in the rain.
There you go. Waiting for the bus
right.
in the rain.
Today, yeah. I could take the speaker out there, but I can't open it for a week. Definitely. UPS man, do you tip him?
No.
They're so fast. It's hard to
I know
get
my
into.
UPS guy by name.
You know him?
Yes. I know him.
You, if you
For
know,
years.
I think if you have a relationship with the delivery
yep.
person, whether
yeah,
it's
UPS,
FedEx,
yep.
Postal Service, you give them a tip.
How much?
Mine switches daily, so I don't know my UPS people.
Yeah, I don't either.
My UPS guy has been there for 4 years.
Okay, bucks? 20 bucks.
Yeah, 20 bucks.
I thought 25.
20.
Okay.
How about my guy, my mail carrier, Smitty, who I talk to all the time?
50 bucks.
50?
Oh, that's high.
$50?
Well, Pete was going
you
25 for the UPS guy.
Legally, you cannot give
you're
more
not
than 20.
To do that. Right.
I say 20. I say 20 for both of them.
Yeah, I think 20 is.
What if I give him 20 and then throw 5 on the ground right when he walks up? Will that work?
No, I think that's kind of patronizing.
Smitty! Yeah, Pete, how you doing? He talks like this and smokes cigarettes all day. That's what he does.
$20.
$20.
Yeah.
And 5 on the ground.
No.
Okay, I'm getting my hair cut this week. How much?
Well, cost of a haircut.
Yeah. What? Wait, let's rewind. So, Mary, please help me because you're a girl. If you get your hair colored and cut, it's the cost of a color and cut you give them?
No, don't do it. No.
That's ridiculous.
Can't do
you know how much you pay for a hair, color, and cut?
Yeah. Yes, it's a lot of money.
Or just give them a gift.
I think just
something.
A gift.
Yeah.
Don't you tip? Here's my biggest question about hair.
Every single time.
I tip every time.
But it's Christmas.
Yeah, you do tip them every time, but I'm getting my haircut this week, and I'll do the cost of a haircut.
So you're going to get the haircut, you'll give them a tip,
pay,
and then you'll
basically
do...
pay double haircut, tip, plus another cost haircut. Of the haircut.
But what if you go in January? Are you off the hook?
I know people that do that. Schedule it right after Thanksgiving.
Well, they're always so busy before Christmas anyway.
They can't appreciate it.
How about Charlie's teacher? Or teachers.
Gift cards, right?
Gift cards. Like
okay, Starbucks. But how many? I know his homeroom teacher, but I interact with 3 others. There's 4 teachers that I interact with on a regular basis.
Just do the homeroom.
I agree.
Yeah.
You can't.
You can't do the gym teacher and the art teacher and the music teacher.
No, but what about ELA?
A mass gift or something. Like with
you know, you got to work these
parents.
Teachers. It's, you know...
No, Pete, that's
give
them
a little something.
Does everybody else in the school give every teacher something?
I have no idea.
I think you'd go homeroom only.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. How much?
$20.
25.
Why isn't it 25? Why do you keep saying 20? Really?
I mean, maybe the homeroom teacher, 25. She's teaching your kid. I mean, $30 maybe. Yeah. I might go $20 and a little small gift or like a gift card. If you're doing a gift card, it's got to be more than $20. If you're giving her cash, then it's $20.
I don't know. I think like a gift card, you could do $20.
Joe just said $20 and a pack of cigs. Can you do that for a teacher?
Like Starbucks or something.
You're not tipping the teacher. You're gifting the teacher.
Yeah, so
you're tipping some of the other people on that list.
How about Charlie's basketball coach?
A gift again.
Oh, my God.
Can't you do a team gift? That's a good one.
Yeah,
have everybody chip in and get a gift.
I don't think they're organized enough.
Well, you're the guy that organized
it. I don't want to be that guy. I'd rather just give him $25 and not have to get money from other parents.
I would, if you got to,
I'm going to pay for it anyway.
Gift cards or gifts.
Yes.
And I think tipping is fine with the postman and the UPS, but if you're going to, and you need to put it in a card, by the way, a greeting card.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going to get teachers give basketball coaches, it's got to be a gift. It's got to be something.
How about the babysitter?
Mary?
I don't know. I
babysitter?
Paid a babysitter in 20 years. I don't know. I don't know.
We use three different babysitters, but one more than others.
Is it a weekly babysitter?
Yeah.
Then you have to pay him a week's extra pay.
I think that's the rule. Right. Yeah, a week's extra pay.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is a lot of money adding up this week.
Oh, yeah. It is a lot.
Who's tipping you?
Nobody. I don't get anything.
Do you have a cleaning person?
We do.
Oh, gotta okay. Tip them too.
She's coming in this week.
Okay, you got to give her a week's pay.
A week's pay.
What about your fitness instructor? You got to do them.
Yeah.
Too? If you have a personal trainer or something, Pete?
Yep. No.
You don't?
Come on, guys.
And your dry cleaner, you got to give them a little something.
No,
like
no, I do not have to give something
sure
to the
you
dry
do.
Cleaner.
No.
I spend enough money
your
there.
Your mechanic, you got to give him mm-hmm. something.
Your barista, you got to tip your barista.
Yeah. And not a tip of the hat.
Okay,
you got to give him some money.
Back to the mechanic, because I text my guy all the time. I was going to drop off a $25 gift card to my guy, JJ.
Why do you text him all the time? Do you have car troubles every day?
Because my wife,
all the time.
My wife runs into everything, or she runs over something,
well,
or
then you gotta
something.
Then you got to tip your insurance guy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Dave Fredrickson over at State
him?
Farm all the time.
Well,
I just talked to him 2 days ago.
And your lawyer?
All the time.
Right. He's doing work for me right now. Jeez.
Why? You're going to be broke, Pete.
I am broke.
You should probably stop texting people throughout the year, so you have to give less.
Yeah, leave them alone, especially before Christmas.
I need to go dark right before Thanksgiving. You guys need to send me a memo. You won't hear from
it's
me
like
until mid-January.
If you're dating somebody, you break up between the holidays, so you don't have to get the
gift. I used to do that all the time. I love doing that in college.
But what if you already bought the gift? That's when you're really in trouble. And then they break up with you.
Save it for next year.
Keep it, or give it to the next guy.
This is the worst
Pete,
crew.
So far, yes. You're in the hole for about like $900 just for tips.
It's just
and you
ridiculous.
Didn't even buy your wife a gift. For
no,
crying
I haven't even talked about my mother's gift yet.
Oh, Betty Ann.
No, God, we all chip in. All 12 kids.
It better be something
kids.
Nice.
It is, of course. We buy her like a stove or something.
Good, great.
Good. That's
yes.
Perfect. Okay.
I don't know what we're doing this year. I just send my sister money.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. Just send the money. Get her a big, big gift from
Sandberg?
Talking about your mom's gift, remind me of my mother-in-law. Pat has two brothers, and so I have two sister-in-laws. And we were on a group text, and I sent Pat's mom. She's a little bit, she has everything and buys whatever she wants, so she's hard to shop for. And I had gotten her this cashmere poncho that was on Front Gate that they said is for, like, traveling. Like, if you're on a plane, put
a
it on instead of...
cashmere poncho.
Oh, those are big this year.
So it's different than a blanket. It's cuter. And there's a zipper pouch so you can put, like, some money or your phone in it. Okay? So that's what I got her. So Amy and Angie are like, you know, I'm at the store. Don't know what to get Gail. Do you know what size she is? Whatever. And I said, well, I got her this. And I told the poncho. And then my sister-in-law, Amy, said, oh, I got her a plaid poncho. So
she's getting two ponchos this year.
Two ponchos.
She'll be warm
already.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Angie was teasing and sent a picture of a poncho at J. Jill that she was maybe going to get her too.
Everyone's getting a poncho.
We could all send. Well, because they're one size fits all. Also,
should I get one? Why are you looking at me like that? You need a poncho.
Get one for your,
get your wife.
Wife
one.
Maybe your mom
wants a
poncho.
Go to Front Gate.
I bought my sister-in-law
one today.
Yeah, no, you can't go wrong. Today you bought one?
No, not today.
Oh.
We bought my mother like a kitchen table or something. Something big.
Yeah. Like, so Kurt's family just bought their mom a laptop computer.
Right.
She loves it.
Yeah.
I bought my mom new phones because her phones in her apartment were all... So, got her phone system.
Pitch in. And I made my sister, Mary, and my sister, Di, sign up the app Venmo. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You can send money.
And you can write on it, too. Oh. Everybody can see what you're talking about.
Oh, I don't
about.
Like that.
That's bad.
I always do mine private. But, yeah, it's the easiest way to send money. And they fought it for 6 months. I go, just sign
kids.
Up. You'll get my money right away. I'm never going to write a check. I don't write checks anymore. You need QuickPay or you need Venmo?
You just give cash, Pete. That's what you do. What are you going to tip me and Dave and Mary?
I'll tell you after the break. It's 720 WGN. I love it. Another thing around the holidays is Christmas parties. Holiday parties you go to, you have to bring a bottle of wine.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. You can't go to a party empty-handed. I've been preaching that all season long, and I'm saying bring a bottle, then also bring something that is handmade.
With
your bottle.
No, guys like Dave and I don't have time for that. Oh, shoot. Dave just lifted up some pretzels
his
wife made.
My wife made these dip pretzels, which I bought in Friday morning. And so there are still a few left here in this jar. It's been sitting in the studio all weekend.
I'm going to have some after the show. You've been pushing them since 6 a.m. I'm on
it. I want to take the jar home.
Oh, that's why. He doesn't care that he wants to get rid of the pretzels.
Your gift, you bring...
I bought a case of wine.
Okay, very good.
At the beginning of December. It's gone.
That's fine.
I have two parties to go to this week.
Great idea to buy a case of wine.
Oh, it's much cheaper.
And then you just go there and get it.
I'm so smart.
What kind did you get?
A to Z.
Oh, yeah, and the Pinot.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
And Dave, that's your DIY gift right there, the homemade pretzels.
So we went to a party Friday night and brought a bottle and brought...
The pretzels.
A jar of the pretzels.
And they said, did you make these? And you said, and your wife said, well, I sure I did. And they go, wow, that's amazing. And then you guys were even better because you brought a bottle and something.
See? Here's a question for you. When you show up for Cochran's New Year's Eve party, do you bring a bottle of wine?
What, if
at the theater?
At the theater? No, I don't
think the theater has one.
You drink it before you go.
You can just get one there. Not a bottle, but...
You drink it during the show? Yeah.
Maybe.
I think you can.
Yeah.
Yes.
A sip or so. Yeah.
Steve Cochran's New Year's Eve show. Are you guys showing up again this year? Okay.
Mary?
Crickets.
I want to go. No, I want to go very much. I've been before. Oh, it's always great.
I love
it's
that.
It's a great time.
We like it because it's early.
It's
I love
early.
That it's early.
Go home and go to bed.
It's yes.
fantastic. You're done early. And then you could either do whatever you want or you get to go home.
It's exactly. in Downers Grove. For tickets, you can go to eventbrite.com.
It's at the Tivoli.
Tivoli.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful theater.
Is it really?
Downers Grove. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
The big DG, home mm-hmm. of Denise Richards. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's where she grew up.
Really? I'm all about it. I love that. What time is it? It's early.
And 7 o'clock.
7
o'clock show.
So you go out to dinner beforehand.
7 to 9 or 7 to 10?
It's well, you're home Usually by 9. 10.
Yeah, you're home by 10.
So that's according to the
I'll be home earlier because I live very close.
But it's like, I love it because it's non-committal, and I'm all about that. Like, you just go in a couple of hours, and then you're out.
You can't walk out on Cochran on New Year's Eve?
No, you go 7 to 9, or you're 7 to 10, whatever it is. But it's like, it's only a spoonful of loveliness, and then I can do, I'm not there for 24 hours.
You show up late, and you leave early.
Yeah.
That's your deal.
You show up late, for sure.
Eventbrite.com if you'd like tickets for Steve.
Spoonful of goodness.
All right, that's nice. Are we done talking about tipping? I feel like I need to go buy two more bottles of wine and stop by the bank today.
Did you bring us bottles of wine?
No, I did not.
We did a service
Wait,
for you today.
Do you guys exchange gifts, Dave? On the
did
show?
We on the show? Yeah, we did our Secret Santa on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, you
I missed that. I'm sorry. Who'd you have?
Cochran.
How'd it go?
What'd you get him? That's tough.
Well, I got him
golf balls.
A toilet light.
Uh-huh.
You have to be here.
To help him in the middle of the night when
and
he has to get up.
And then I got for Abigail Grace
yes,
a fingerling, which is like the hottest toy out there,
that,
even though she's not old enough yet, according to the directions, to play with.
Right. Don't let her choke on it. Don't give it to her for a few years.
Wow.
Okay. Quick break. It's we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Do I need to get Amy and Jen a gift? What?
Just for them cross-talking.
Amy and Jen say yes.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Of course you are. Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is twice in a week and a half, right?
I know.
Seeing you two.
This is real exciting.
This is nice.
What a time to be alive.
You get to see Pete McMurray.
I haven't done any shopping, so this is crunch week for me. How about you guys?
I only have like 2 days left of my holiday, and I still haven't done any either, so we're good.
I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah. I got the Prime, the Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that's the way
you
to do it.
You don't do the Prime.
I know.
That's a big mistake
the
there,
Prime.
Pete.
He doesn't pay for the Prime.
2018, I'll pay for the Prime.
Great.
Everything's $9.99 a month, though.
So what?
No, it's $100 a year.
$100 a year.
That's it?
Yes.
I thought it was $10 a month.
No.
It's $1.20. It's
right. Oh, and you pay once, you're done, and then things can come to your house the next day.
Yep.
You're like, you know, like just the other day, I was like, I need a shredder. It was at my house the next day. I had a shredder. No, done.
All right. Now you put it in perspective.
See?
I'm an idiot.
And then you can.
So I'm
going to
get rid of Netflix, and then I'm going to get Amazon Prime.
I mean, there's some shows that you can only get on Netflix.
You just get a stick.
You just
Amazon stick. Whatever that is.
What are you smoking? What do I do with that thing? I don't even know.
Sage the area with it.
My brother has a stick. I still don't know what it means.
I don't either.
Okay,
stick
good.
Is very hard to
All right.
Understand.
Have a great show.
Thank you very much. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.